Free Talk Live. Welcome to the program here. You can bring up anything you want to talk about. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
Join us online anytime you want. Just head over to freetalklive.com. And, of course, you can do all kinds of things on our website, unlike a lot of talk show hosts that charge you for their sites. Ours is free, so enjoy that over at freetalklive.com. Coming up here, some economic news. Apparently, Americans are now using Buy Now, Pay Later services for groceries.
Whoa.
Oh, that's such a bad sign.
That's a really bad
sign. That's really bad. I wouldn't even think that they would make that available.
And the reason they're doing this, I mean, it's probably been true for a very long time that families have been putting groceries on their credit cards and stuff. But the reason they're doing this is because they don't have good enough credit to get those credit cards. So instead, they're using these buy now, pay later things. That's higher interest rates usually. I don't know what all the specifics are with how they work.
They're high rate if you don't pay it on time. We can get into that coming up here in a little bit. Also, apparently, somebody at Yale is recommending that Japanese elderly people kill themselves. And Bonnie's got a story about that. Plus, brain implant trials are coming up for the Elon Musk Neuralink program that he's working on.
Which is scary because I'm pretty sure that Neuralink is facing some sort of investigation right now for animal rights abuses and for like torturing apes and stuff. So I don't know. Plus,
scary.
I don't know if I trust the world's richest man to put microchips in my brain. You know,
I don't.
Well, I definitely don't. Like, I guess people who are willfully going to start in these trials do, but that doesn't mean I'm ever going to do it.
And in other news, and what I would say is some big news in regards to the cryptocurrency world, is the U.S. federal government has topped what they did last week. Last week, they announced that the SEC was going to go after Coinbase, which is the U.S.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah. It came out, I think, Friday. We talked about it on the Friday show. But, of course, Coinbase, I believe, is the number one largest Bitcoin exchange in the United States. And they are now being targeted by the SEC with what's called a Wells notice, which is basically a heads up that an enforcement action is coming. So the SEC has essentially told Coinbase, look for a lawsuit. It's coming soon.
Well, it's nice of them to warn them.
Yeah. So that's on the way.
Why do they do that?
I guess it's something they have to do.
But I don't hear about it in every lawsuit.
No, only the SEC.
Okay,
so the SEC is a specific thing required that they have to do.
That's unfortunate. There's no risk of violent defense being met. I don't see why they don't warn everyone before executing a warrant or a lawsuit or whatever.
That'd be nice.
It's just a simple courtesy to not randomly show up and start kidnapping people.
Well, they just start
Donald Trump.
Well, they would just start saying that everything was violent. I mean, they said the Crypto Six, they were worried about people who, you know, specifically preach about peace every single night would be violent to them.
Right, because Matt Roach had guns in his room, so therefore, even though he's
everyone in New Hampshire.
Even though he has no violent criminal history whatsoever.
And owns all his guns legally.
They treated us, even with like ATF permission slips and stuff for like his silencers or whatever.
Yeah, it's not like if there was any news that like he had a gun confiscated during the raid, everybody would know about it. That would be like, they would be constantly talking about he had illegal guns in his house.
Nothing illegal.
And Matt would be aware that, you know, doing something like that is going to reflect terribly on every single libertarian in New Hampshire, every single free stater. I told you those free staters were armed kooks. So bad ideas all around.
Yeah, and then they treated us like we were, you know, terrorists or something like that with 50 guys, two Bearcats. If you want to see the footage, just go to thecrypto6.com. You can see that there. But now they've topped going after Coinbase by going after the largest exchange on the planet, the largest cryptocurrency exchange on the planet.
Binance
is now being targeted not by the SEC, but by the CFTC. What do those letters mean? We'll get into it coming up here in a moment. But
something Futures Trading Commission.
I think so, yeah. We'll talk about it. No, not crypto. Let's talk to Dingo first, though. He's already on the lines here calling from Wisconsin. Go ahead, Dingo.
Hey, gang. I came across this Seeds of Revolution Beef of Vendetta video today, and it just reminded me of going to the AMC theater back when they were watching the Beef of Vendetta movie live, and they got that scene that says, you want to know the truth, you should only look in the mirror. I just feel that the truth is very subjective, and it can depend on the person what the truth really is. It, people need to look at themselves more and look at less at others for the truth.
I don't know, Bonnie. What do you think about that?
I think truth is not subjective, and Ian already knows that I think that. But I think that the truth is what is, whatever is. Your perspective is going to be different than other people's, obviously. And yes, I do think it's very important to look at yourself and see how you're impacting the world before trying to change how other people are impacting the world, if that's what you're saying.
Okay.
The truth is just what is. Like, what is? What is okay. The truth? I mean, that's just all there is
to it. You're saying there's only one truth.
Yes, but different perspectives, of course.
Mm-hmm. I actually agree with Dingo here. There may be a truth, but whether mm-hmm. or not there is, we can't, you know, ascertain that. Like this pyramid sitting here, we all observe a pyramid. We can touch it. We can feel it. We can see it. But there's absolutely no test that we can take to prove that what we're experiencing is real. There's mm-hmm. nothing that we can do that can prove that I'm not imagining this. So what is truth? Obviously, everything is perceived, right? But our perceptions, yeah. We can't prove that they're even valid in the first place.
That makes things difficult.
It does.
Dingo, anything else you want to share?
That's it.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the call. And always also appreciate the call out to V for Vendetta, which is, of course, a fine, fine film. And
yeah, do you hear that? Sorry, we're cutting out. I don't know if I'm the only one.
No, I'm not hearing that. Must be you. It's probably your headphones.
It's like every other syllable.
It's probably just not plugged in all the way. How about
that? Okay, sorry. Must just be happening in my headphones. Yeah, it stopped.
Okay,
that's good.
Problem solved. Any more comments on truth? I see where everybody's coming from.
If a thing happens, it mm-hmm. either did or didn't happen in the record of everybody who could have observed it. That's all I'm saying. It's not
but
like,
Ari is saying you can't even know for sure that thing happened if you did observe it.
Is it relevant whether or not it actually happened? Because what Bonnie just said is right. You know, what we would call truth is what the majority of people agree occurred, right?
Is that what we would call truth?
Okay, so like, here's the thing. I saw this...
Because if that's true, then people think that 9/11 happened the way the government said it did. And I think most thinking people know that that's not true.
I don't mean that most people. I mean just like whoever observed it. Like if people were standing there on 9/11 and saw something different than what happened on TV, just because most people said a thing that they said happened on TV happened wouldn't invalidate those people what they saw. But... Mm-hmm. When people talk about truth being subjective, this is usually what they mean. Like, I saw this on a PBS cartoon when I was a kid. There is a lady walking down the street. She is wearing a hat that's yellow on one side and green on the other. One person's walking on her left, and they say, she's wearing a yellow hat. But the person across the street says, she's not wearing yellow hat, she's wearing green hat. And they fight over it. And that's how wars start. But really, they were both right. No, neither was right. In reality, she was wearing a green and yellow hat.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter that one person only could see one side and one person could... Like, the lesson of that book was incorrect. It was on Reading Rainbow. Mm. And they were like, you know, truth is subjective. It's just whatever you see yourself. It's like, it's what is. Like, whoever knows it, it doesn't really matter.
I get what you're saying there. And I think it kind of... I want to tie it into what Ari is saying, because just taking the yellow-green hat example... Both of those people had their experience. They expressed what they knew about it. It wasn't the whole truth, but it was part of the truth, right? And so, like, the more information you can gather, the closer you can get to the truth, right? So if somebody had seen the person with the hat coming straight at them, they would have known that it was two different colors, and they could have added that information in, and then we might be closer to the truth.
Well, but we maybe assume it's closer to the truth. We actually can't determine that either.
Well, we know we have more information that is, presuming it's true, presuming every participant
saying,
is giving you
and
their
I'm not
honest
even saying
experience.
That Arya is saying this because it's like a more...
No, I agree with your take on the yellow-green hat story.
I'm not saying that Arya is saying this, but there are people that want you to think like this. Like, it's taught on PBS on Reading Rainbow. Like, they're both right. They're not both right about the hat being green or the hat being yellow. They just didn't take the... time and effort to walk to the other side to be like, let me see what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't make the truth change. The truth never changed. The truth was always that the hat was yellow on one side and green on the other side, you know?
Yeah, they just, you know, they based their worldview in this scenario on inaccurate or incomplete information. And I think, if anything, you're right. It's a cautionary tale against doing that.
Yes.
But think about it on a more complex level when we talk about, like, physics or quantum physics and things like that. I mean, not... none of us are scientists on this show, right? So, like, we're going to give a cursory...
To human eyeballs and what they could see in the light spectrum, it was a green and yellow hat. Sure, if there's a being, like a dog, that could see other color spectrums, then it would be different to that dog. But all that mm-hmm. we're talking about is what we could see with our instruments.
Which is why I'm saying... The more information you can gather with the more types of instruments that you have, whether it be your own pair of eyes or other some other kind of device that can measure something, you know, radiation detector or whatever it might be, you get closer and closer and closer to the truth. But can you ever actually reach it? Can you ever actually know the absolute
truth
about
the thing?
But the
thing is, whether you can know it or not, it is. That's the thing I'm saying.
I get
saying.
What you're saying, but like, we don't know what necessarily that is.
That's fine. Like, yeah. I accept that I don't know all of the waves that are around us. Like, right. There could be some kind of thing other than a radio wave going on in here that mm-hmm. I don't know about. I accept that. But that doesn't, my knowing or not knowing that doesn't change the truth of what is.
Sure. But we still don't know what that is.
Sure.
Right? So, as Aria pointed out, it could all just be a giant simulation.
No, I already agree with that.
Right?
I mean, it could be, but and you're right. We can no longer. Well, I mean, we can't identify what the truth is. But I also think it's irrelevant. Yeah, you have these philosophers who like to say, as I was saying, you know, all of this could just be a simulation. It could just mm-hmm. be imaginary. Okay, well then stick your head in a meat grinder. Oh, you won't do that. So it's irrelevant.
So
whether
yeah, you
this
have
is
to
a simulation
accept
or not.
It as real because it presents itself as real,
right.
And it would be very dangerous to your health to do anything else
in the simulation.
Besides
at least.
That,
it may then, not hurt you outside the simulation. You might just wake up somewhere,
and then you look at like colorblindness, for instance. I'm somewhat colorblind in certain areas.
Yeah, he thinks everything is pink and not purple.
I don't know about that, but I can definitely tell the difference between pink and purple. It's just
he thinks
probably
everything
some
is red,
shades.
Not orange. That's what it really is.
I can tell the difference between red and orange as well. It's just there's certain shades of certain colors that don't really like stand out to me or whatever, as I understand it.
I mean, that's not uncommon.
No, not amongst men. It's not uncommon at all. It's quite uncommon amongst women to be colorblind.
It's like 1 in 200 or something, right?
Maybe less. I don't know.
All
but,
I know is, like, I'll be wearing a shirt that's a really pretty, like, light blue, and I'll be like, don't you like this shirt? Lots of people tell me light blue is, like, a really pretty color on me, and he'll be like, it looks white.
I had to make peace with that because so many people accused me of having pink hair, and, like, it's not pink. It's
it
very
red
clearly
hair.
Vibrant red
yeah.
hair, but...
Yeah.
They always pink, and it's because most of them, or at least some portion of them, are colorblind.
When I the most shocking time for me was there was here in Keene. I was over in downtown. I was parking wherever, and one of the city councilors who happens to know me, and I know him. He's a local realtor. He pulls up in this little car. Normally, he drives this huge truck. And I just kind of made a comment to him. I was like, hey, Mitch, where's the truck at? Right? Because like, it didn't look like his kind of car. And he says, oh, yeah, this is my wife's car. And for whatever reason, he mentioned the color of the car when he was talking about when they bought it or whatever. And he described it as like hot pink. And to me, it was like gray.
Oh, wow.
Which is weird because I can see like... If you put something pink in front of me, I would generally be able to identify it as pink. But apparently,
it would probably really be purple.
This particular shade of pink was like not registering with me at all. And I just thought it was like this bland, boring looking gray colored car. And apparently it was like a hot pink ride.
And it really does suck because I love to wear pastels. I think pastels look really good on me. And Ian will just always think I'm wearing a white shirt.
Really?
I don't know about that, Bonnie.
Not
I don't know.
Always, but a lot of the time.
I don't know if that's true.
It is true.
When I do a colorblindness test, I think I come out as a mild Dutton, so I'm not anywhere near as colorblind as like my own father couldn't. I don't think he could tell the difference between like a green and red light.
Whoa, just, that's
except
bad.
For
that's how my uncle is.
Yeah, you can see where it is on the light, so you know.
That's really bad.
What it is. Unless it's one of those ones that stays in the same place and just shifts colors.
Today, my dad was following behind me to get back to his Airbnb from the Moose Mart. Mm-hmm. And I got stopped at that light that is only a three-way. And all the people that were turned. And my dad's right behind me. I look at him to see if he's going to do it. And I start going. But I went really slow and he stayed. And then when we got to the Airbnb, I got out. I was like, what's wrong with you? We don't have red light cameras in New Hampshire.
Do they have those in Alabama?
Probably. I don't know. He was just like, yeah, but... And I was like, you could see that nobody was coming.
So anyway, it's an interesting discussion talking about truth. If you want to weigh in, you're welcome to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. And he also mentioned, of course, the V for Vendetta film. I don't think, Bonnie, you've seen
it. Never
that.
Seen it.
And then
I've seen most of it, but I stopped watching it.
You were upset at it, right? Didn't you get mad at V?
If upset would be the right, but I lost interest in it, and I didn't have any desire to continue watching it.
You lost interest based on what one character was doing, though.
Well, yeah, the main character. Yeah.
Okay. Is the guy with the mask, isn't he just a Ponzi anyway? Somebody was telling me, like...
A Ponzi?
Well, or Patsy is what I would say.
Patsy?
Somebody was saying, like, I don't like to wear the mask because the mask guy in the movie is just like a... disinformation agent or something like that?
No.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Maybe I misunderstood what he was saying, but...
He was a terrorist, and I say that in, like, the literal sense. Like, he used fear and violence to achieve his goals, and he paid forward the suffering that he had experienced onto others, and so traumatized them and radicalized them.
I didn't know it was like a Joker
guy. I mean,
he was
going after an evil government.
Sure.
Yeah, but if you hurt people in the process, it's like fighting fire with fire.
Oh, I tend to agree. Like, I'm in favor of peaceful solutions. But this is a movie, and generally peaceful solutions don't make for interesting conflict in... Hollywood movies,
I get it,
right?
But you
or
know,
comic books. I guess it was a graphic novel.
It was that Natalie Portman's character was effectively innocent and not one of the evil people, and yet he inflicted evil upon her.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the part where I lost interest, because at that point, like Bonnie said, you know, he was everything that he was fighting against. He was just a state by a different name.
That's
by that
a great point. But it's interesting that it frustrated you or upset you so much that you quit watching a movie. Does that happen with you often? Like, because you're kind of a movie
buff. I don't know that the word upset is really accurate.
Like, I would have to be really, really bored with a film or something to walk away from it like that. And so that's why I'm sort of projecting the idea of, well, maybe if I was really pissed, I would leave a theater or something. But I guess you were watching it at home. But either way, to stop watching a movie midway through... that otherwise interesting to me simply because of what one character does, I wouldn't do it. So, like, that's why I'm asking, do you find yourself doing this with other movies, or was that like a one-time thing?
On occasion, I stopped watching a few other films. Mm-hmm. I don't think I can think of any off the top of my
head,
but
memorable.
Certainly. I mean, yeah, Inhuman Witch, a bad movie about an astronaut who goes into space and comes back as a killer man witch.
Now, why did you stop that one?
Because it was terrible.
Okay,
it wasn't, so that's a fine reason. It wasn't interesting to me.
I could probably have stopped watching the Transcendence movie, but you wanted to watch
Johnny
it.
Depp?
It was just so annoying. So many...
But yeah, it's a matter of, you know, I've got a limited amount of time, and I have to, there's an opportunity cost to everything. I have to decide whether or not I would want to continue watching this movie that I'm not finding appeals to me any longer, and I can't empathize with the main character any longer, or switch to playing, you know, The Binding of Isaac or some other video game, or watch some other movie with the main character with whom I can empathize.
Have you seen the new Scream?
I have not.
It came
I didn't
out
know
with
it was
another
out.
Okay. one, right? There was one last year.
Did you watch it?
I don't think I ever watched the new one.
No, not yet. There's a new one, right?
Okay.
So the one last year, did you watch that one?
No, I watched the original, though, to prepare for the new one, and then never actually
and
watched
never
the new
one. And never got around to it. Well, now there's two new ones.
Okay.
So, yeah. And the new one, Scream 6, is supposed to be better than Scream 5. Anyway.
The first one was terrible.
Well, I liked it, but Bonnie, you don't like horror movies.
Yeah, but I specifically really didn't like that one. It was terrible.
I still have to watch Halloween Ends. Still
that
haven't
one was
seen
good.
That.
I liked it. I thought it was. They took things in a different direction. Would be happy to discuss it with you.
It's an 80s action slasher. What can go wrong, right?
Except it was made
years
ago.
Yeah, but it was made in the spirit of an 80s slasher, right?
The number, if you want to join the show here, is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Let's jump into the big, what I consider to be the big news of the day here, and that is that the federal government, in the form of the CFTC, which stands for Commodity Futures Trading Commission, CFTC, is now going after, with a lawsuit, crypto exchange Binance and its founder, Changpeng Zhao, who goes by CZ, this according to Coindesk.com, on allegations the company knowingly offered unregistered crypto derivatives products in the U.S. against federal law.
Good Lord. Okay, so I think the fact that we have two agencies here that are competing with one another to go after cryptocurrency companies suggests that maybe the United States has a bureaucracy problem, right? It's not enough to have the SEC out there going after crypto companies. We also have this very similar, very much related, and I challenge anyone out there who supports this to explain to me what the hell the CTFC does that the SEC doesn't do.
Apparently, they regulate commodity futures trading.
Right, but that means nothing, right? That's just words.
So I am not a financial expert, but the difference would be, right, like between a security
Not a commodity.
And a commodity.
What does that mean?
So we can't really easily define security.
I was going to say, security is like confusing to me, but I know what a commodity is.
Well, because we talked to Jeremy Kaufman from Library, and this SEC, the Securities Exchange Commission, went after them over the Library token. And we didn't think that the Library token fit as a security, but apparently the federal judge did. And so he ruled that the Library token is a security, even though it's just a utility token that you use to upload videos to the library, you know, pointers to the library blockchain.
It's not the, what the word means in like common everyday vernacular, but they don't care.
No, a security is
that would
supposed
be a nullity.
Right. A security is supposed to be something that could go up in value based on what a company does, essentially, or could go down in value based on what a company does or doesn't do.
But that definition is so vague that, as we pointed out, it counts for Magic the Gathering cards.
It could, but they don't go after
Hasbro.
And collectible
video games. No.
Yeah, they're not going to.
But they could.
Not going to target Hasbro because they got lots of lawyers.
And it suggests that it's just a matter of time before the CFTC is going after Library.
Well, Library is going to be gone, so they're not going to have anyone to go after because the SEC has completely destroyed them. But the difference being, Bonnie, you said you know what a commodity is.
Yeah, it's something that can... Wait, I know what it is, but...
It's like gold
can be traded for another thing.
Corn or something, right? Like, commodities are these actual things, aren't they? I mean, that's my understanding.
It's like a thing that can come out of a vending machine. That's what I thought of it as.
Yeah,
just
well,
like a tangible thing,
but
that can
they can be traded
yeah.
on markets. So.
Does it have to be tangible?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe
I feel
not.
Like it does.
But I thought that Bitcoin is a commodity to the IRS. So
that's what they've said. Yeah,
I mean, it depends on which government agency wants to exploit you for their benefit, whether
that's
it's a security or a commodity or an asset or a stock or
yes.
whatever else.
That's the takeaway here. Is this is more evidence that cryptocurrency is whatever they want it to be because it's convenient for them at the time.
Like bacon is a commodity if it's sold at a gas station, but you can't trade it for some... You could trade bacon for eggs with your friend, right? Mm-hmm. Sure, but you couldn't take bacon to the grocery store to pay for eggs.
That's true. A commodity, according to the internet, is a basic good used in commerce that is interchangeable with other goods of the same type. Commodities are most often used as inputs in the production of other goods or services. A commodity thus usually refers to a raw material used to manufacture finished goods. So crypto, I think, is pretty well defined as a commodity. I mean, of all the different definitions out there for it, it's something that can be traded. It is, you know, essentially not the same thing as a security, in my opinion. It is not the same thing as money. Not like currency, not like government currency, at least. But we can dig deeper into this because they're going after Binance now. We'll tell you about it. It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here and bring up whatever you want. Take control of the airwaves at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian, Bonnie, and Aria in the studio tonight. The federal government gang here in the United States is going as big as they can possibly go. I thought they were as big as they could go last week when they went after Coinbase. With the SEC targeting them with a lawsuit that has yet to be filed, but the SEC promises that it's coming.
Well, it does get a little bit bigger than Coinbase, but in the crypto world, it does not get bigger than Binance.
Nope, this is as big as it gets. They're going after the biggest target they possibly can.
This is just going to cause them to finish shutting up shop in the U.S.
It absolutely is. Binance is an international exchange. Even though it has a U.S. division, that division is a separate company from Binance. Binance itself is based out of, I don't know, some British island or something like that. It's somewhere out there. And it's not in the United States. I don't even know if
Changpeng...
British
doesn't seem like a good idea either.
No, probably wasn't a good move on their part. But they've been trying to like move around the world and find the best place because I believe they were originally a Chinese company. But I don't know all the history. I think CZ or Changpeng Zhao, who's the founder, is a Chinese native.
Okay.
So I believe they left China, given that China was being incredibly hostile towards cryptocurrency. And they're in, like, I don't know if it's the British Virgin Islands or where they are. If you know, you want to correct us, please feel free. The number is 603-283-6160. But the point of this, of course, is that the U.S. federal government gang can go after anyone they want, apparently.
All over the globe.
Yeah, if you are a company somewhere in the world that does absolutely zero business in the United States, they can still come after you.
Are they going after the parent company here, Binance?
Binance, the parent company. Yeah,
for
that's
something that Binance US did?
No, this story doesn't even mention... I have the CFTC's press release here, and it's not talking about Binance US. So we'll get into it here. So this is what CoinDesk has to say. The lawsuit's been filed. This one's, it's here. It's happening now.
Well, Americans can use the international Binance as well, so maybe that's why?
No, you can't.
I thought they could.
No, years ago, international Binance cut off all US customers. There was a time when you could, but at some point they froze any new accounts, and then they started going after their existing accounts and telling them, you're done.
That's right. You have to hide your location, and you can only make deposits with cryptocurrency or something?
Last I knew with the international Binance, even if you were to hide your location, you still had to go through Know Your Customer. So you would have to have a second passport. You'd have to have a passport from some other country to get on Binance. So it's pretty locked down
from
my understanding of it. But again, it's been a while since I've had personal experience with it. The lawsuit filed in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Illinois Monday, that's today, alleged that Binance operated a derivatives trading operation in the United States, offering trades for cryptocurrencies including Bitcoin, Ether, Litecoin, Tether, and Binance USD, and like hundreds of others. It's a huge exchange. I mean, they've got all kinds of cryptos there, which the suit referred to as commodities. The suit, by the way, the SEC's chairman, Gary Gensler, the guy that's running all these attacks on all these other cryptocurrency businesses, he says all cryptocurrencies except for Bitcoin are securities. So
what makes Bitcoin different?
I like what Nobody, our co-host on Friday night, has to say about it, and that is that it's controlled by the bankers. That Bitcoin's been taken over from the inside as of probably 2017 and is completely co-opted.
That would be by, what were those guys' names? There was an institution that was behind a lot of it.
Blockstream.
That's it.
Which is funded by people like MasterCard and
J.P. Morgan.
And I don't know if J.P. Morgan, but the mega European bank AXA is a major investor.
And those are the main influencers behind Bitcoin at this point. They have been for a very long time.
Yes. And that's why Bitcoin never scaled due to market demand. Bitcoin is still slow. In fact, I was just noticing last week that the Bitcoin prices of... I was looking at charts. I saw somebody mention it on social media, so I pulled up all the charts. That the Bitcoin fees are once again above $1 on the median fee, and it was above $3 on the average fee to send Bitcoin from one person.
Imagine
to
wanting
another.
To buy a $5 cup of coffee with a $3 fee.
Yeah, it's a no-go.
No.
No one's going to do that.
I mean, that's what miners want, right? They want us competing with one another because that causes us to have to raise the fee, and that just gives them more money for the same amount of transactions.
Well, once people start learning, they can get sub 1 cent fees from every other crypto out there, basically.
Yeah, it's literally only a problem for Bitcoin.
Yeah, then those users are going to leave. They're going to go to Dash or they're going to go to Bitcoin Cash.
Isn't it kind
else.
Of a problem with Ethereum too? I've always heard
that's true.
Ethereum is
prices.
Expensive. Yeah, that's true.
But I don't even know anyone that spends Ethereum.
No, it's not really used as a currency.
Ethereum is awful and it's a blight on the cryptocurrency world. And if anything should die out, it should be Ethereum.
They allege that the company under CZ's leadership directed its employees to spoof their locations through the use of virtual private networks. The CFTC is charging Binance with violating laws around offering futures transactions.
Well, could you repeat what you said about the VPNs?
They're alleging that the boss at Binance, Mr. CZ, directed his employees to use VPNs to spoof their locations. Why?
But
I'm not sure.
Is that illegal?
I have no idea.
Hold on. Using a VPN is not about spoofing your location. Sure, it could be used for that purpose, but that's not the point. And even making that allegation is like saying that people only want privacy because they have something to hide.
Yeah, I mean, it's a thought crime thing. Like, with Ian, they said, like, he was respecting people's privacy, like his number one rule they kept saying was, "We don't tell us what you're going to do with your crypto." And therefore, that means he was catering to bad guys. That's just thought crime. That's like saying that they know inside Ian's brain that, he was selling Bitcoin and respecting people's privacy because he wanted to cater to scammers.
Well, this is a war on privacy here. I mean, this is all part of that. That's what they're doing here. In fact, I saw today, now I have not verified this myself, but there's a new bill that's being put forward. You probably heard of it being described as the anti-TikTok bill. Have you guys heard that they're going after TikTok, the federal government?
I figured it was going to happen, but I had not seen any updates.
Well, the thing is, it's not like called the we're going to get TikTok bill or whatever. It's
no, they're smarter than that.
It's called the Restrict Act, I believe is what the name of it is.
That way it can apply to multiple companies.
Oh, yes. And it's apparently about much more than just going after international companies or international governments using companies as fronts, which is what the big news is.
That's what the
it.
U.S. government's doing. I have an article about the freaking CDC buying people's user data from Google. That's exactly what the Chinese government would be doing with TikTok. But when they do it, it's bad.
The claim,
but when the U.S. government does it, it's good.
The claim that I saw, and I don't know how long this bill is, but the claim that I saw was that this bill includes text that would make it illegal to use a VPN to download media.
Whoa.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. And, you know, they'll say, oh, well, you know, it's just being, it's not, we're not going to interpret it that way is what they will argue. And then, of course, they won't at the beginning, but give them 5 years, give them 10 years, and they will absolutely interpret it that way. But they can't police, it's stupid. They can't police VPN technology.
Unless they outlaw it or something like that. And maybe this is the first step towards that.
Even then, like something like Tor is effectively a glorified VPN. They can't. They can't ban that. They can try.
They may try. The CFTC is now charging Binance with violating laws around futures transactions. Quote, illegal off-exchange commodity options, unquote, failing to register as a futures commissions merchant, designated contract market or swap execution facility. I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what any of this means.
Poorly supervising its business, not implementing know your customer or anti-money laundering processes, which is absolutely
outside of
ridiculous.
The United States. Yeah, it's not like they should be subjected to the Patriot Act outside of the United States.
But the thing is,
they have lawyers and they have tens of thousands of pages of anti-money laundering policies.
They absolutely have know your customer policies at Binance. Go right now and try to open up an account at Binance.com and you tell me that you can do it without having to show ID. I don't believe it. I know that once upon a time they used, supposedly at one time, they were allowing people to do accounts where you could get like up to a Bitcoin per day of trading value and then you wouldn't have to register. But I heard they got rid of that.
Many exchanges, I don't know about Binance. I don't. I guess I've never used them. But many companies, they do allow you to sign up for their exchange and to use their exchange. I'm trying to think of the name of one of them while I talk.
There's a bunch of ones.
KuCoin, I think, was what it was.
Yeah, that's one of them, yeah.
You could sign up with just an email address, but you could only deposit and trade cryptocurrencies. You couldn't deposit USD because that's where they run into legal trouble. And I mean, presumably if Bitcoin is money, then they're going to run into legal trouble anyway, which may be how the CFTC is going after them at this point, saying, hey, look, I don't know. And my eyes start to glaze over when I try to process this insanity because it's a bunch of legalese. It's a bunch of confusing tens of thousands of pages of documents and definitions. And I don't understand it. The CFTC doesn't understand it. IRS doesn't understand it. They're just saying
either.
Guilty.
If you change the thing they're doing to completely fit their rules, they'll just change the meaning of the words in the rules.
Sure.
They don't even have to change the rules.
And they won't tell you the rules.
No, they
as
won't.
We learned with library against the SEC, you
they
can literally ask
either.
Them, hey, yeah, the Coinbase sent people to Washington, D.C. to try to prevent this very thing. Mm-hmm. They literally say to them, hey, look, we want to do this correctly. You know, help us do this correctly.
You just shouldn't have to be subject to any rules about money when you're not doing something that was issued by the government.
That's right.
At all.
You sure?
And you're not even calling it money.
Well, if they're going to have rules, and you know, I'm an anarchist, I don't think they should have rules, but by their own stupid game that they've set up and that they rigged, if they're going to have rules, they at least have to define
they should be able to
those
explain
rules.
Them.
Not
yeah.
if they have the monopoly on violence.
No.
So they don't have to.
They're not. And they're not doing that at all. They want people to be in the dark.
And I'm joking. I know they should be, have to, but...
They're not decent
people.
That's
why they don't. Right.
Right. They're not good people. They're not honest people. They're not people that you can trust to do things honestly at all. And they've proven that with how they handled the library case, where library said, just tell us what to do. We'll do it. It doesn't matter what it costs. We'll jump through all the hoops. We'll pay for it. We'd be fine with doing that. We don't want to do it, but we will do it. Same thing with Coinbase. Coinbase was even more friendly than Library. Coinbase has been trying to cozy up to the regulators for a decade, and they even told Coinbase at one point, according to Coinbase's blog post last week, they told Coinbase, hey, why don't you tell us what you think you should do to register? Because we don't really know. Like, they admitted they have no program. They had no program. They had no system. So Coinbase, of course, is like, well, yeah, we've got lawyers. We'll have our lawyers work on that. And so they've spent like millions of dollars developing some stupid regulatory structure for the government. And they handed it over to the government. And then they were supposed to have a meeting with them. And they canceled the meeting. And they said, no, they meaning the SEC, canceled the meeting and said, no, we're going to go back to enforcing against you.
Yeah, I see. I feel so naive in hindsight, you know, knowing now what I didn't know, you know, 2.5 years ago, like all of these hoops that the government has put up around the trading of cryptocurrency that I didn't even know were there. And they've established all of these rules. They're making people jump through all of these hoops, but they're not telling anyone what I was doomed from the start. Mm-hmm. They're not telling anyone what these hoops are or what they are supposed to do. And when they inevitably miss one of the rules or miss one of the hoops, they hit them with charges and lawsuits. It's
right.
It's a hopeless act.
In our case, the Crypto 6 case, which you and I were charged as six people being arrested for selling Bitcoin. They are saying that Bitcoin's money. In the case of the SEC, they're saying that cryptocurrencies, except Bitcoin, are securities.
Yeah.
And in the case of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, they're saying that all cryptocurrencies on Binance are commodities, including Bitcoin. So they all have completely different definitions of what is convenient for them.
And they're allowed to do this for some reason. Right, that was one of the things that I lost hope in the case about, because remember, there once upon a time I was planning on taking this to trial and I was talking this over with my attorney about the definitions of money, and it looked so promising. I was like, look, and the SEC says this, the IRS says this, and he goes, hold on, none of that's going to matter. Oh, I didn't realize that was the case.
Binance's reliance on a maze of corporate entities to operate the Binance platform is deliberate, according to the CFTC. It is designed to obscure the ownership, control, and location of the Binance platform, and that Chengpeng Zhao answers to no one but himself. In a press release, the CFTC chief counsel...
Well, who does the CFTC answer to?
Congress?
I doubt it.
Do they really? Were they created because Congress... told them to be created, or were they just created?
Generally, bureaucracies get authorized to be created by Congress, and then they kind of take on a life of their own, and they can write their own regulations without having to ask Congress, as I understand.
So who's in charge of Congress?
The people.
Oh, the people are. You can write your representative,
so no one.
Arya.
You wanted this, Arya. See, we're the government. We wanted to do this to Binance and Coinbase.
I completely forgot that I did this to myself.
Yeah.
Silly me.
CFTC counsel called Binance's actions...
And if you don't want to participate, well, it's your fault for not writing your congressman.
So the difference between Binance
and... I've written them, though. It's good.
It does nothing.
You've gone and you've spoken far more at the House here in New Hampshire than I have.
They don't listen, yeah.
And they don't listen. They're going to do whatever they're going to...
I think some of them do.
But by
you can
and large,
persuade those people.
Most of them, some I think, them. Are going to do whatever they want to do.
I think that's true.
Wait. I didn't persuade my specific... representative.
Mm-hmm.
She ended up not voting for the war on drugs and the whole war on drugs one, which
was
kind of surprising.
CFTC chief counsel called Binance's actions, quote, a willful evasion of U.S. law.
Well, they're not an American company, right?
Why should they have to follow your stupid laws? They are not based. Yes, they have a U.S. extension, but
okay, so go after them. I don't support that either, but that would at least be logically consistent.
But how do they even claim jurisdiction in this? I don't understand.
They don't. They're just saying, look, you have users in our jurisdiction, so therefore you're subject to our rules.
But that's not even under their control, is it?
No, it's not.
And they don't have users in American jurisdiction.
Well... according to the lawsuit, which they've got like apparently internal chats and emails from Binance, so they must have had somebody on the inside. The suit alleged Binance directed customers in the United States to use a variety of methods to evade restrictions on U.S.-based customers. Quote, Binance has instructed U.S. customers to evade such controls by using virtual private networks to conceal their true location, says the suit. VPNs have the effect of masking an internet's true user's IP address. VPN use by customers to access and trade on the Binance platform has been an open secret, and Binance has consistently been aware of and encouraged the use of VPNs by U.S. customers.
I mean, if so, that was silly on their part. The most they should
have
done...
But how is that a crime?
Well, it's not, because they're not subject to American law, but they are. They do
seem
to be
are.
Trying to help people violate American law.
The question is, are they going to be able to, like, force these people into court? Like, if Changpeng Zhao doesn't want to come to America to appear...
And he shouldn't come to America.
And doesn't want to send lawyers over to appear, they're going to rule against him. But what does that even mean? How would that really affect him?
Well, I don't even know that they would even necessarily do that, right? Like, the American government went after the Pirate Bay repeatedly. They've gone after the Pirate Bay most of my adult life. And they don't have jurisdiction over Sweden or Switzerland, whichever one it is. I always forget.
That's true.
But that's never stopped them before. Yep. The Pirate Bay facilities have been raided repeatedly. But they're not in violation of their home country's laws. And they're not subject to American jurisdiction. But jurisdiction doesn't matter, because they're not playing by the rules that they've established that they're supposed to play by. They're breaking their rules when it's convenient for them and operating outside of their jurisdiction. And I don't like the government. I don't like the governmental system. It would probably be better. I would find it less objectionable, I think, if they did actually follow the rules that they lay out. But they clearly don't.
You mean the government follow their own rules?
Yes.
Yeah, no, they don't do that.
And if they did, I would find it less objectionable. But they don't do that. It's full of hypocrisy.
You have to follow their rules.
Yes.
But they don't.
No.
The company directed, they say, important customers such as trading firms to set up shell companies in places such as Jersey, the British Virgin Islands, and the Netherlands to avoid restrictions, said the filing, to escape restrictions, and was fully aware of the scale of its U.S. business. Quote, Binance knew that U.S. customers continue to comprise a substantial proportion of Binance's customer base, the filing said, citing internal monthly reports sent to Changpeng Zhao, which said that even as of June 2020, after controls had supposedly been implemented, that 17.8% of customers were based in the United States. So they're alleging that...
But they can't do anything about that if the people are using VPN services, right? Like, Binance can't enforce their policy, their no American policy.
Well, they can if they require ID from everybody, and the IDs are, you know, they're rejecting anyone with an American ID, which... Mark Edge at one point tried to apply for Binance within the last few years, and I'm pretty sure it was after they implemented the No Americans policy, and they told him, you can't, and they rejected his application. So I don't understand what they're saying here. I don't know if Binance has like one of those low-tier signups where you can get some trading ability without showing any kind of ID. Maybe
they may still have that. They may have had that at one point. But
they definitely had it at one point.
Well,
then
it doesn't matter if they still have it or not. The CFTC will go after them.
They'll just count that. Well, up until this point, you were breaking our laws. And so what they want out of them is, of course, money. This isn't a criminal charge. This is a civil case. According to the CFTC's own press release, in the litigation against Binance, the agency seeks, quote, disgorgement, civil monetary penalties, permanent trading and registration bans.
Isn't disgorgement like... they won't exist anymore level taking money from them? Or was that just happens to be that way in the library case because they were going to die anyway?
Yeah, in the library case, they were basically dead before the disgorgement procedure happened. Disgorgement, as I understand it, is just, you know, it's just legalese for we're just going to take crap from you. You know, we're literally removing a thing.
Don't hurt people and don't take their stuff.
The definition of this, according to Investopedia, is a repayment of ill-gotten gains that is imposed on wrongdoers by the court. So it's just a completely arbitrary, you know, punitive sanction against them. And if they're going to say that every dollar that the Binance exchange or every Bitcoin or whatever that the Binance exchange has made off of its U.S. customers are ill-gotten,
which is probably what they'll say.
That's going to be a huge amount of money. This is a multi-billion dollar exchange. Let's just see here. What is the current... Remember, this is the number one exchange on the planet. I'm just going to pull up the list of exchanges by volume. Because there's these websites like CoinGecko.com and CoinMarketCap, which will show you the amount of volume done in any one 24-hour period. We're just going to check here. Binance is the biggest by far. The second largest exchange is a fifth the size of Binance in volume.
And that would be Coinbase?
Something called Upbit.
Okay, never heard of it.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them on this list that I'm not familiar with. Coinbase is actually 6. Coinbase is number 6 in the world.
Well, I can imagine the cryptocurrency space has changed a lot in the last 2 years that I haven't been in it. So I'm not surprised that the number 2 exchange is one that I've never heard of.
So
makes me a little sad.
Do you want to take a guess at what the 24-hour volume of the Binance exchange was?
1 million.
It's going to be like $65 billion or something.
Whoa, within the billions?
It's in the billions, not as high as Aria's.
10 billion?
Okay, well, that's good.
10 billion. 10.8.
I just guessed.
$10.8 billion in 24 hours. That's how much trading went on the Binance exchange, and Binance is getting, 0.2% of each trade, right? So in 1 day's time, they're making a lot of money. And so if the federal government's going to say, well, we want all of your revenues from all of your U.S.-based customers over 5 years or whatever the amount of time is, it's going to be in the billions.
Will they even prove how many are U.S. if they're using VPNs and everything?
Well, they don't have to prove it, do they? They can just write a number down and say, this is what we want.
They probably had one of their guys go on Binance and talk to someone in customer support, and they're alleging that the customer support people were telling them, oh, just use a VPN and then you're good to go. So they probably have a chat log or something like that,
It won't tell them how many people are doing that, though.
No, but it will tell them that, oh, you did a bad thing.
Oh, I see.
So therefore, guilty or
that
responsible.
That is pretty reckless. I don't know whether or not it's criminal. I mean, clearly it's not criminal because it's civil.
Yeah.
But it was certainly unwise.
Also, nobody was harmed, so.
No, but no. It was unwise of Binance to do this, if it's true.
Well, maybe they thought that they, by being an international company, weren't subject to U.S. prosecution in this case.
And, I get it.
And I don't, what happens to them if they just were like, we're not showing up? This is the thing that when Telegram a few years ago, before we got raided, Telegram was going to come out with their own, Telegram's a chat app. Yep. Telegram was going to come out with their own cryptocurrency. And then they got sued in the United States by the federal government over it. They went there, they lost the case, and then they gave up. They just decided they weren't going to come out with it. And I was like, why did you guys even go? It just didn't make any sense. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show and bring up anything you want here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
And I do want to say thank you to our Free Talk Live supporters of the AMPS program. People like Joseph Anania, who is a silver level supporter of AMPS. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. It's a way for you to get behind what we do here on Free Talk Live to help us continue to spread the message of freedom, peace, liberty, crypto, precious metals, the things we talk about regularly here on the air. You can help us with that for as little as $5 a month, which is what Joseph is doing over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. We're talking about the latest attack against the cryptocurrency industry. They're going in with all guns against the biggest of the big now. It isn't just going after little old Ian and Aria in Keene, New Hampshire with the crack team of 50 armed agents smashing in windows and
threatening to shoot me. Literally threatening to shoot me.
What is a
crack team? As I stood on my stairs naked.
What's a crack team? It just sounds really bad to call yourself a crack team.
I don't know. It's just a colloquial expression.
No, I've never heard it, I guess.
And
just means the top notch, right? The best of the best, right?
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So no, it's not that now.
We didn't get rated for crack, just so the listeners that don't have never heard that.
True. And we don't have any evidence they were on crack either, but
anyway, no direct evidence.
They're going after the big ones. They're going after the biggest on the planet, Binance, which is the number one exchange by a fivefold factor over the second place exchange. If you go and look at the list of international crypto exchanges, Binance is the big target, and they're ready, apparently. They're bringing a lawsuit against Binance and some of the employees, including the founder, Chengpeng Zhao, and a gentleman named Samuel Lim, their chief compliance officer, through January of 2022. The story here from CoinDesk, and I guess it looks like CoinDesk has actually looked at the indictment here, or the lawsuit. And the filing points to internal chats between Binance employees, or at least alleged internal chats. How are we supposed to know if these actually happened?
How would they get them without like a court order?
I don't know. I mean, the court...
An IT person on staff being a plant?
Must be. So it's got to be something like that, because they're just now getting the court order. They're just now receiving the lawsuit, which would mean that then from now they would have to preserve certain data about their business legally if they're going to be responding to the lawsuit. Which, again, if there's anybody out there in the attorney world and you can, like, clue us in to this, why would Binance want to even deem this respondable? Like, what is it that they don't...
How would the U.S. government serve it? Right?
They probably hire somebody to go serve it on them.
To the other country?
I guess. I don't know. That's another good question.
Would they have to be, like, hunted down? I almost said shot down.
I mean, they have... of officials who do this sort of thing, American, like sheriffs and constables and stuff, whose job it literally is to serve papers.
You can also hire private servers.
Can you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've got a private investigator who can do it. So if you ever need somebody served, we know a guy.
That's right. I think I knew that because when we sued the city of Keene, there was a possibility they were going to refuse service, in which case we would have had to have hired
the
someone
sheriffs
to
or whatever,
do it. Yeah.
But obviously, sheriffs aren't going to go over to the British Virgin Islands or wherever it is that Chengpeng Zhao happens to live.
But I could see them getting someone to privately do it.
So yeah, I don't know how that works. That's another good question.
But this is, and even if they do have some sort of internal communication between staff members at Binance, this is all the more reason to not use what is my small business server. What does Microsoft call their email thing? Exchange. All the more reason not to use Microsoft Exchange. Use something that you can encrypt, because you want even your employee-to-employee communications encrypted.
Well, they actually mention in the CFTC's press release about this, they actually claim that Binance was using a messaging application that was set to automatically delete written communications.
That's just proof that they were doing something illegal.
So,
no, that's just proof they were being smart.
Well,
never
proof,
put anything in writing that you don't want the world to read, period.
Proof isn't the right word. The right word is it's something we can convince a jury. Think, isn't this suspicious?
Right, because they want you to believe that any privacy techniques are to be used only by bad people and that only bad people care about privacy.
Yeah, we don't need proof in the American court system anymore.
That's what they alleged in the Crypto 6 case.
Now, just come back with a warrant. Doesn't mean I'm hiding anything. It means, no, you're going to play by the rules that we've established, and I'm going to do everything I can to make you play by those rules.
They say that Samuel Lim, who is their chief compliance officer, said appeared to direct an employee to ask U.S. customers to hide their location. Lim allegedly said in a message, quote, "On the surface, we cannot be seen to have U.S. users, but in reality, we should get them through other creative means," unquote.
Yeah, see, that's not the sort of thing they should have said, first of all. And if he was going to say that, that's not the sort of thing you put in writing.
The suit also alleged the exchange was well aware that sanctioned entities and individuals from sanctioned groups, or rather regions, were trading on its platform.
They mean North Korea. They're not going to say it, but they mean North Korea.
Or Iran.
Possibly.
Or Russia now.
North Korea has definitely looked into using exchanges and cryptocurrency as a way of subverting sanctions, though.
But again, why should an international company give a damn about what
American sanctions
are?
Yeah. They're allowed to trade with North Korea, so why should it matter?
I should be allowed to trade with people in North Korea.
If it were a free country, yes, you should be allowed to do that.
What is the damage here of selling goods to a starving person in North Korea or Iran? Because sanctions only hurt the individual.
They sure do.
They don't hurt the government.
Kim Jong-un is sitting pretty. He's fat and happy.
We saw this in Russia as well, where people admitted, they openly admitted that the point of the sanctions was to squeeze the people so that they would put pressure on Putin. That's so horrifically evil that we should encourage people to do everything in their power to get around this, to help the people in these other countries that are being made to suffer because of your government.
The lawsuit alleges that Lim said that, quote, terrorists usually send small sums, unquote, that are barely enough to purchase weapons with. He said other customers were, quote, here for crime, unquote, according to the lawsuit.
I don't believe that.
This sounds taken totally out of context.
Yeah, and I mean, like, even the FBI has said that most cryptocurrency transactions are totally above the board and not illicit. Yeah.
And how would he know? How would you know if your customers were there for crime on Binance?
Wait, so they're alleging that in these chat logs, one of the top
Chief compliance officer.
Most of these people are here for crime.
Well, he said other customers were here for crime and seemed to believe that terrorists were using the system.
Well, why would they go through a system where they had to use KYC?
Lockheed Martin isn't selling anyone missiles for Bitcoin. Neither is Raytheon. Yeah. If you want these weapons, sold by American companies, by the way, for those who haven't been watching the global hegemony playing out, if you want to buy some of these weapons and you're a terrorist, you have to use the U.S. dollar.
I just don't understand. Again, we don't have the context here of how this was originally stated or in what context or whatever it was originally stated, but there's a certain list of terrorists out there, right? I think it's the OFAC list of people you're not supposed to do business with, essentially. And obviously, Binance has that list. So I get it. Binance wants people in the United States to use their service. That makes sense, right? It's a huge market. You don't want to cut.
It's the wealthiest nation in the world now.
Yeah, it makes sense as to why they would tell their customers, hey, look, just use a VPN. Okay, yeah, fine. You'll be fine. I get that. But if somebody goes through the KYC, the Know Your Customer process, and their name matches Osama bin Laden or, you know, somebody else that's on the terrorist block list, the OFAC terrorist block list, this list of known terrorists that you're not supposed to do business with.
Well, a moral person simply shouldn't do business with.
Right? But also, even if Binance's people aren't moral who are running Binance's operation, they're not idiots. Why would they still knowingly do business with a terrorist? I mean, they're not going to bring you that much money.
Yeah, it's not like they're going to make. So they're, you know, just barely making enough to get by, and they need to do terrorist transactions.
You've got $10 billion in transactions a day. You don't need that money. So it doesn't make any sense to me. This sounds like BS.
I understand. See, the server farms that Dick Cheney and George W. Bush told us about that they had in Iraq and Afghanistan, those server farms were actually Bitcoin miners. Must have been. They
before
had us
Bitcoin
fooled.
Came out?
Yeah, back in 2003. They had us fooled all along.
Binance,
clever people.
They say Binance. So I don't buy this. I don't buy the claim that their chief compliance officer is just like, oh yeah, terrorists are cool, man. I don't buy it.
I don't buy it simply because it's not pragmatic. It's not sensible. There's nothing that terrorists can do with Bitcoin that is remotely useful to them.
Binance directly tasked an employee to be a, quote, money laundering reporting officer, unquote, to write a report claiming its compliance audit was stringent to hide how poor its compliance program actually was from business partners like Paxos, the suit alleges.
Well, I mean, you can't prove or that's a subjective valuation, saying that their compliance was good or bad, and you can't prove that in any direction. You can either measure whether or not it succeeded in doing what it was supposed to do.
As part of this audit, the Binance employee who held the title of money laundering reporting officer lamented that she needed to write a fake annual MLRO report to Binance's board of directors, WTF, unquote. The suit said, quote, Lim, who was aware that Binance did not have a board of directors, nevertheless assured her, yeah, it's fine. I can get management to sign off on the fake report, unquote. The officer said in 2020 that they, quote, and this is in all caps, has, spelled H-A-Z, no confidence in our geofencing, unquote. And what is geofencing?
I know what it is in regard to warrants. Mm. It's where they escape an entire area and they don't. I don't know. I don't think I'd be able to define it.
Only way I know is like looking for where a picture came from or a ping on a cell phone?
I think in this case, it's probably like IP checking related. Like, okay, well, we're not supposed to allow people in from the United States. So we've geofenced them off from using our service. But apparently,
which, for those not paying attention, this is exactly how the Great Wall of China, the Great Firewall of China functions. If you're a Chinese person, you're blocked off from all of these websites.
What is so evil when they do that?
Yeah, it's absolutely evil.
Absolutely.
And just not when we do.
Chinese people use VPNs to bypass that because we recognize that the Great Firewall of China is evil and that they should be allowed to access the free information that is on the internet.
Well, that's great when the Chinese do that. Not when we do it, though.
We're going to continue here in a moment. I got Chuck on the line in Washington State. You're on Free Talk Live, Chuck.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I really enjoy the conversation tonight. Please help me, and I mean this serious as possible here. I think I might be kind of retarded because I don't understand to this point in time the whole concept of cryptocurrency. And I'm starting to think that I have to be half autistic to understand cryptocurrency, to be quite honest with you. I have no idea. I mean, I kind of get it, but not.
How much time have you spent researching it?
I only listened to the show, and I, you know, in between my internet fits.
Have you ever spent 2 minutes watching an introductory video about Bitcoin?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, then, how could you expect to know anything about something that you've spent 0 time?
Why are you yelling at me?
I'm asking him questions.
I think you should just give him a video that he should watch because. I don't know. We could explain
it
on
the
air.
We did it every night for years. Go to Bitcoin.com, click on Getting Started at the top of the page, and take a few minutes out of your day to learn about this important world-changing technology.
It is.
But Aria, that's what I'm saying.
Go do that.
I feel like I'm, well, okay, so what if I do that, and then I come back to you, and I still say, I don't understand the
Well, then you can have a question. Then you can ask a question. Then
well,
you
do
would
you
have
a question? Because you've probably heard enough about it on the show.
See, having a question after watching the video would be step B, though. And we need to do step A first.
Yeah, Bonnie, I got a question. Am I retarded?
I don't know. I don't think so.
All right,
no,
thank you.
No, I don't think you're. You just hung up.
you're unwilling.
You're just lazy.
To learn.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Well, I gave him the opportunity to ask.
Yeah,
a question.
He could have called in and asked a question.
Well, he did technically.
What was the question?
Is he retarded?
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
No.
He didn't ask a question about Bitcoin, though.
I don't believe he's retarded.
And we're always more than happy to answer questions from people who have questions about it. But I had questions for him. It's like, well, have you done any of research on your own of this? Or are you just expecting us to hold your hands on the air and give you an introductory class every time we want to talk about it?
It's frustrating, but it's like you just can't expect the average person to want to do anything other than like be comfortable.
Which
it's
is fine, but then don't say, wow, am I retarded, and call a national radio show when you don't understand something. It's fine to not understand something.
Sure. I don't understand a lot of things. I don't know how, you know, cars work for the most part.
Yeah,
right?
But we don't level that at other people's feet and call the Clapper Brothers, I don't remember what their names are, and say,
so they're doing a car show?
Yeah. Are we retarded? Because I don't understand how transmissions work. And they go, well, have you read about how transmissions worked or watch a 3-minute YouTube video on it? We go, no, why would I do that?
Right?
It's like crazy.
I wouldn't expect to call in and ask somebody how a transmission works on broadcast radio, right?
Also
like,
fair.
That's the thing that I wanted him to ask a question for is because like I could just go off on explaining to him what cryptocurrency is, but it would be boring radio. It would be
not
like
always. I mean, you can,
something that would
you
take
go
a long
ahead,
time.
Give it a crack. I
okay,
mean,
well, if he wants to know what it is for the end user consumer, which is really all you need to know. You get a wallet, and then from there, you get crypto, which could be a person in real life. You can meet someone at a meetup, or you could go to an exchange. You go to an exchange, you buy the crypto, then you send it to your own non-custodial wallet, which means you have custody of the wallet, like Edge Wallet, which is on your phone, or Exodus, which can be on your phone or your laptop.
Which is a strange name. It's confusing the way it's
non-custodial. Yeah, it does confuse people.
Right, like non-custodial means
no
the
one
wallet
else
doesn't have
the
wallet
means.
Company, the people that made the wallet, do not have custody of your funds. That you do. A custodial wallet is where the company, so in this case, Binance, is a custodial exchange. You give them your Bitcoin, they hold on to it, and that's a risky thing.
And then, if you want to spend Bitcoin with someone who is willing to accept it, you would go to send on your wallet and they would go to receive, you'd scan a code and send it. That's really all a person needs to know.
Right?
But yeah, and that's the thing. Like, we don't need to, I have no clue how Venmo works in the back end. I don't need to know that. I just need to know, oh, I type in your username here and send it to you. Like, mm-hmm. no one would call into radio if we were talking about Venmo and be like, I don't understand how Venmo works.
Yeah, can you explain the Venmo database to
yeah,
me?
Yeah, like, no one needs to know that. Like, yeah, I could explain that a little.
The only really critical takeaway to this is that Bitcoin is just like that. It's just like Venmo, except it's not centralized. It has no central point of failure. Instead of going through this single company called Venmo, you're going through this massive network of other people who aren't really interacting with one another.
And it can't. And that means your transaction cannot be stopped.
Right.
Because Venmo,
they don't.
Can
they can't go.
In.
Oh, we don't like Aria. We're not gonna. We're not gonna take her transaction.
Right. Oh, the government doesn't like Aria, so therefore we're not gonna do business with her anymore. That kind of thing. That happens with banks. That happens with
Venmo,
but not
and
with Bitcoin.
PayPal's. Right. You've been banned from Venmo. I've been banned from. Oh, wait. Have you been banned from Venmo?
Everyone around me started getting their accounts banned, so I pulled out and I haven't used it since before they banned me, but I'm almost positive if I was to try to interact with Venmo, they'd be like, oh yeah, hey, you were the next on our chopping block.
So they banned me for sure, but I'm not banned from PayPal, thankfully, even though they're related companies. It's just all very confusing.
PayPal banned me, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they keep them as separate entities to avoid these anti-monopoly laws. Hmm. Essentially.
Let's continue here with your calls. And again, if you got a question about crypto, we're happy to answer it. We will do our best. It's important to us to be able to communicate these things in ways that are understandable. We don't want to make it confusing. We
but
don't want
to
go
really mean to call.
We don't want to go too far off into the weeds.
I think Bonnie's explanation was great about cryptocurrency. And I don't think it got us into the weeds, but I also don't think you were mean to the caller.
No, I don't think asking questions
I think that was a fair question.
I didn't call him any names.
It's always mean to the caller.
No, I'd be calling in to say, hey, I don't understand this thing. Being asked, okay, well, have you spent any time researching it?
That's the obvious question.
But see how you said that?
I knew what the answer was going to be before.
I didn't know. I didn't jump to that conclusion.
But Ian, Aria was like, okay, did you spend any time? You were like, did you spend any time researching it?
No, that wasn't my tone. Let's continue here. The situation is calling from Oregon. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, I must be on a huge delay. I just heard you guys on the radio here on the West Coast talking about Trump getting arrested on Tuesday.
Wow.
Him saying.
That's really weird. If I were you, I would contact the station about that. Or if you want, you can give me the station call letters, and I'll see if I can reach out to them and see what they're doing. Because that was like, we haven't talked about Trump in a week.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, can I jump into that? That's
what are the call letters? What station are you listening to?
KBBR. Bravo. Kilo Bravo. Bravo Romeo.
Got it. Okay. So what's on your mind tonight?
Anyway, yeah, I was calling about last week's talk about Trump getting arrested, him putting that out there.
Has he been arrested yet?
No,
of course not.
I don't know. Just got off work. So
he has
anyway.
Not been arrested as of today. I don't even think they've finished with the grand jury hearings at this point. So
anyway, I'm not defending the guy or anything. I just wanted to make a point, you know, my opinion and whatever about him potentially getting arrested. Last week, you guys were kind of pro arrest him. You know, it's good for the system to take down a president, whatever.
Good for the bank runs.
I just, it's a distraction, of course. But I'm just giving you my perspective on what's going on with Trump and all these investigations. He's been investigated since the day he got the nomination. So, I mean, they've spent millions and millions of dollars and time and government waste. And
yeah, they did that on us, too. God knows how much money they spent on our case.
And you guys last week were saying, well, he can say that when he got raided at Mar-a-Lago, he got tipped off, and he's connected. And I don't think the guy's ever been connected. That's why everybody's been going after him forever.
Okay, we're going to ignore all of the photographs and stuff of him, like, hanging out with Bill Clinton and people like that.
Flying with Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, not connected.
He's a New York businessman, big money guy.
Yeah, you also, I mean? There's another word for people, big money businessmen who shake elbows with presidents. That word is connected.
Connected.
Well, I don't think he was connected politically. I mean, they attacked him from day one before he was even president. And
he became president of the United States but was not connected politically. That's what you're saying, seriously?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the mythology around Trump that his fanatics actually believe. They actually believe he's an outsider. Now, we do have a guy on Saturday night, Peakless Mountaineer, whose theory is that Trump is not per se an outsider, but he's not on the inner circle. So he's like definitely connected, and he's definitely, you know, with the elites, but he's not in the true inner circle.
Here's what shows the inner circle, okay? You look at who Obama had in his cabinet and, you know, all the people that were in his cabinet, and even back when Bush was president, people that were in his cabinet, and you look at who Trump didn't know who to put in his cabinet. So he just kind of picked the people that were there, you know?
So his cabinet was identical to his predecessors?
That's a ridiculous excuse.
And you're saying this makes him different?
No, I'm not. I'm saying that's how inexperienced he was.
That is a ridiculous excuse for doing nothing. Okay, to say that this guy who made a big show before he got elected about how he's going to clean house, he's going to drain the swamp, and then he's just, gosh, what do I do with my cabinet? I guess I'll just leave it as it is.
No, look at people.
Yeah. We're losing your call. Thank you for the call tonight, though. I appreciate it. I mean, that's all they ever have. The Trump people always just have excuse after excuse after excuse. He needed 4 years just to get his feet wet, and now he's going to go in when he's going to hack and slash, and he's going to drain the swamp. Just give him 4 more years, and he'll prove it, right? You believe that, don't you?
I do not.
It's Free Talk Live. Talk Live. Phones are open here. You can join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And it's Bonnie.
And Aria.
We're going to go back into your phone calls and thoughts. You can, of course, bring up absolutely anything that's on your mind. We've been digging into the news, which is just terrible news about what's happening to the cryptocurrency industry. Now, the U.S. federal government gang is targeting the world's largest crypto exchange in the form of Binance. They went after Coinbase, which is America's largest exchange, last week. And they're coming with a lawsuit against Coinbase. That hasn't actually hit yet, but they announced that it's coming. And this lawsuit has been filed against Binance. And I actually have Binance's response to the filing here that they posted on their Binance blog today. So we'll share that with you coming up here as well. You can join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. Let's go to Major Payne in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Major.
Yeah, you were talking about this crypto guy getting pursued by the WTF. I'm assuming that's like the World Trade Federation or something like that.
No, it's the United States CFTC, the Commodities Futures Trading Committee or something.
I don't know. You brought up some organization called the WTF, and I've known that acronym for a long time, and it stood for what the F.
Yeah. No, that's, I don't think we talked about that, but Anyway, what else?
So there's a little bit of rumbling from South Korea. These guys are already on a mandatory 52-hour work week, the whole country, right? Mm.
South Korea?
And the leader wants to increase that to 69 hours a week.
Really?
And this has been going on because the Orientals have a hell of a work ethic, right? And it's almost a pride thing. But their ancestors, you know, because Korea was started from nothing and built to something in the matter of, you know, two generations.
Yeah, that's true.
So the old people got a real hard work ethic.
South Korea is a great example of how a relatively free economy can outpace anything else nearby that is not as free in a, as you pointed out, in a couple generations. It's a huge success.
The Koreans actually have a word for it. They call work to death. And I can't remember, you know, I can't say it in Korean.
Okay, so just a point of clarification. I did just look up what you said, Major, and the proposal is not to mandate 69 hours per week, but to cap the working week, meaning that there would be no way to work more than 69 hours per week, which is currently capped at 52.
Wow, that's crazy.
The 52-hour week is not even close to being respected. I mean, most people are expected to work 12 hours a day every day.
Well, yeah, they put people on salary to get around that.
I heard a Korean on the radio today, and he was talking about this, and he obviously knew what he was talking about because he was being interviewed. And he says, yeah, the work week in Korea is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, 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 Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Friday. There is no Saturday, Sunday.
Meaning people don't work the weekends, or they call...
No, they do. Friday. There's the weekend never comes.
Hmm. I mean, in America, we call that food service. This isn't anything that's like unique to South Korea, right? I mean, I hit 52 hours a week every single week without, you know, batting an eye about it. To me, that's relatively normal, and that's true of most of the people that I work with. None of us want fewer than 40 hours.
I mean, I'm presuming some people are working two jobs, and that's how they're accomplishing it in South Korea, because the current law, according to CNN Business, limits the work week to 40 hours plus up to 12 hours of compensated overtime, though in reality, critics say many workers...
Wow, more limited than here.
Or their own salary.
Many workers find themselves under pressure to work longer. Now, you know, so maybe some people are working illegally in some way, shape, or form, and I'm sure they have ways, right? Like, where there's a will, there's a way. But you shouldn't have to break the law to work 60 or 70 hours a week. You should, if you want to work that much, you should be able to work that much. There shouldn't be any kind of cap on that sort of thing. Let people, let employees and employers and contractors and people hiring contractors work these things out on their own.
Amen to that.
Yeah, the free market system is something, but if you're worked, you know, 50, 60 hours a week from the time you're 18, and who knows what the retirement age is over there, till the time you're 70 years old or 65 or whatever, you're likely going to drop just about the time you're ready to finally get into your what's supposed to be your golden years.
I don't know if there's any correlation to working hard and dying early. I've never heard that before.
In fact, I think that people start to die. I think it's been proven that people start to die faster if they don't work.
Yeah.
Well, that is true, but the Koreans wouldn't have a word for being worked to death if it didn't exist in their society.
We have a phrase for it, too, called work to death.
If you don't want to work, then don't work. I mean, if you want to just work 40 hours a week, then just work 40 hours a week.
But you don't think they don't have a social net there? I'm sure they have that they're more socialist.
And you mentioned they're being pressured by their companies to work more hours. And I could see that. You make these people salary, and then you say, well, you have to answer your phone at home or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they're
quit
basically...
the job.
Yeah. But I mean,
you're not
if they're
a slave.
Going, it sounds like the issue in South Korea is that they would run into that at every company, and that's why the law
start
got
your own
implemented.
Company. Anyway, go ahead, Major.
Think about if you're the factory owner. How simple is it to just run two 12-hour shifts and it never shuts down?
I don't understand your point.
Oh, it's a terrible It's not simple at all. It's a horrible idea. You don't want factory workers working 12-hour shifts.
Yeah, I thought he meant. I thought he meant one person doing a 12-hour shift and then the next person coming in. But I guess 12 hours is a really freaking long shift itself.
You want 4 tens if you're running a factory.
What's the point?
That's hard. I've done that. I worked at a factory one time and we were doing 6 tens.
Yeah, that's
and
rough.
After 2 or 3 months of this stuff, the accident rate in that plant went up by 30%.
No, that's going to screw your insurance.
That's why you.
I wonder if that company still does that, because I'm sure it's not recent.
Yeah,
that's why you want
around?
4 tens.
Is that company still around?
Well, it did shut down, but it still exists. It was a Fruhoff trailer plant, semi-trailers.
And for those who don't know, 4 tens is a reference to working 4 days a week, 10-hour shifts. It's generally regarded as one of the more efficient ways. It gives you 3 full days off to spend with your family and friends. It's a fantastic model. It's one of the best that we've uncovered for working a 9-to-5 job.
It's something that they do a lot in the government. I've always heard government workers working 4 tens. It's like, that sounds way nicer than 5 8-hour shifts. When I have gotten to work and I know there's 8 hours ahead of me, that feels like hell. That's my personal hell, to know that there's 8 hours ahead of me that I have to be in this building. But if it was just 2 extra hours, but I have 3 days off instead of 2, I could deal with that.
Thank you, Major, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. I mean, this just seems like much ado about nothing to me. Like, if you don't want to work 70 hours a week, then don't take that job. I'm sure
there's North Korea.
I'm sure there's somebody
you can leave.
Yeah, there's somebody who will hire you to work part-time.
It's such a crazy thing that when Major Payne first said that, I assumed he slipped up and he meant North Korea. But shockingly, it turns out he meant South Korea. And instead of saying that you have to work these hours, they were saying you can't work more than this, which isn't any better.
Hmm.
Sorry.
No, I was just saying, I think lots of people, like, they'll hear something where somebody's complaining about something on the radio and they just want to be angry about it too. Like, this guy was interviewed, and he must know something because he was being interviewed on the radio.
I caught that too.
Yeah, and, yeah, I don't know, he was complaining, so just wanted to get his anger levels up.
Like, I hate to say this as someone on the radio, but just because someone is on the radio doesn't mean they know what they're talking about.
No
we
doubt.
Interview Sarah every night.
Interview her, yeah.
Well, we kind of do. We're like, Sarah, have you ever worked a job in your life?
We do ask her questions. That's true. Because it's way more interesting to ask her questions than to just let her talk about whatever nonsense. The number here is 603-283-6160.
I know she doesn't listen to the show, but if she did, she would have heard me talking about running that stoplight earlier today, and I bet she'd be so mad.
Yeah.
Just tell her about it when she calls.
The CFTC, to get back into the story here that we've been covering here tonight, Binance is under attack, the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange by the CFTC. Binance doesn't even have a business with the except, well, I guess they do have a U.S.-based exchange, but they're not going after them. They're going after the mothership. They're going after Binance, the company, as a whole, for doing international Bitcoin exchanges where they're allowing U.S. users in sort of through the back door by apparently on the down low informing users that they can connect with a VPN and get into the site.
Well, look, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but before you get involved in, if you don't know what a VPN is and how to use it, you probably need to learn some more about technology before you get involved in cryptocurrency.
In cryptocurrency? Yeah, that's a good point.
I would suggest that VPN is a lower level of knowledge needed to utilize technology to its full capacity than is cryptocurrency.
Why don't they just skip all these steps and make cryptocurrency illegal for United States citizens to use? Because cryptocurrency implies that you want privacy. And so they're just going to start saying that wanting privacy implies that you're a criminal. So just skip all these stupid steps and make it illegal to use cryptocurrency in the United States.
The thing is, that probably wouldn't hold up in court because that would be a
clear
violation.
The courts are just
going to
be like, well, see, it falls under funds and blah, blah, blah.
It depends on how many people they're going to make angry, though.
And that is a good point.
If they were to outright ban cryptocurrency, they would make enough wealthy people angry that it would be undone.
Then that just proves that nobody's paying attention because like they're basically outright banning cryptocurrency, but with a million more steps.
Well, they're not banning it. What they're doing
is they're slowly banning it.
They're putting people out of business. They're making it harder and harder to get the cryptocurrency for the average user. But if you jump through the right hoops and you kiss the right rings and you pay the right fines and you pay the right fees, then you might be allowed to actually run a cryptocurrency exchange. So what they're trying to do is they want to get paid. They want to go in. They want to shake rattle the cage of the cryptocurrency exchange and say, hey, we're in charge here, and then pay up if you want to stay in business, which is why Kraken just paid them $30 million a few weeks ago to not sue them over their staking system, which now they're going to sue Coinbase over Coinbase's staking system, ostensibly.
And if any of this sounds familiar, it's because it's the very same thing the mafia does when you have the audacity to do business on their street.
Well, right, and that's a good point. It wouldn't be profitable to abolish cryptocurrency as a legal thing, right?
Good point.
So the CFTC and the SEC, they don't want crypto to be illegal because then they're out of the game. Then it's only the Justice Department that can go and, you know, make raids and arrest people and charge criminally in that case. But that doesn't help the CFTC, and that doesn't help the SEC get their more money into their budgets. Whereas if crypto is legal, then all they got to do is send a Wells notice or send one of these, threatening letters or whatever. And these companies, they're seeing what's happening, right? Like
Kraken just paid the $30 million.
Kraken just rolled over. And I can't say I blame them, right?
Cost of doing business, right?
Yeah, that's what they're going to mark this up to. They're going to say, oh, crap, they can go after Coinbase. They can go after Binance. They can certainly go after me because now they're going after the two biggest. And if they are successful in this, then that is going to just make it clear that these people, these government goons, can do anything they want to do. And you will pay or you will go, you'll be put under. And that's how it's going to be.
Yeah, and with places like Local Bitcoins also going
closing
under.
Closing shop.
Yeah. I mean, it's game, set, match.
Yeah, and now they're going to try to prove that they can go after anybody anywhere in the world, which is what they're doing with Binance here. Let's continue, though. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What is your name?
Hi, my name is Robert. I'm in Daytona Beach.
Robert, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Great. I'm calling about Federal Commodities and Trading Commission. I took an interest in futures as it was advertised in the newspaper one day, and I signed up for a course in futures trading. And my understanding is the futures is an insurance racket. So the government, with their formidable authority, threatening authority, enforces these contracts by awarding contracts to a corn grower, for example, for a certain price for a large, not specifically one person, but an overall contract available to all farmers for corn. And then they buy it, well, like they give it to them, and then for in exchange for future work. And so they sell it on the market so that they're guaranteed to get the money, mm-hmm. whether or not they fulfill the contract for, in case something goes wrong. So it's an insurance policy. And so people trade these contracts, and it's enforced by the formidable authority of the U.S. government. So it's very serious business. And so it's like a gamble, and it's an insurance policy. That's mm-hmm. all I want to say. Because
so you were just describing what a futures contract is.
These are the army of the government bureaucrats who decide what things cost. They determine these things beforehand by awarding, deciding what the price is going to be. Their lawyers, all the power of the government. This is why I would fear. I fear these. This is where the fear comes in, because there's real risk involved and there's real power behind enforcement of these agreements.
I would definitely describe it as a racket, the way you said. I mean, the market should decide the value of a thing instead of a government setting it, fixing it.
Yes, it is. It is that. But the money itself is under strict control of the people who are in charge. The control is the bureaucrats, the government.
When you talk about the money itself, you're talking about the Federal Reserve.
You see, I have here right in front of me the Great Seal of the United States, and it's on every $1 bill.
Mm-hmm.
And that represents the power and authority. It says something like, "In God we trust." So it's like it can be like a religion. You have
it's definitely like a religion.
People,
yeah,
people who believe in the dollar bill and who will kill for it.
You are absolutely right about that. It is absolutely a religious belief in the power of this monopoly, basically, and they are evil. It's an evil religion.
But that's how the thing works, because all these people have evil intent. They channel it, and they're managed.
And they work together. Yeah.
We all live together and work together, and we have each his little job that he does that's special. And this is how it all. This is why it's so dangerous.
And that's what's so frustrating about like libertarians or whatever you want to call yourself, anarchists. It's like it's hard, so hard for us to work together the way that they work together. Like they, quote unquote, they, the government and their forces of evil that are surrounding them, corporations and things like that, they systematically work together to harm us. And there's less of them than there are of us. And we just can't work together against them effectively. And
libertarians are too busy fighting over caucuses and things like that.
Unity mindset is what they, quote unquote, they have that we don't have. But it's just really hard, because it's like so many libertarians will fall for some dumb cultural thing and just like ostracize other people. That's what I don't like. It's like, that makes me not want to work with them. I don't want to work with them and feel like I'm pushing their cultural narrative or whatever that they are secretly into liberty for. It's like, just be into liberty for everyone living freely. How hard is that?
Good advice. Thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Let's continue. David is in San Francisco. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I guess that guy hung up, but yeah, I would ask him a couple of questions about, if you remember, like, the old movie Wizard of Oz, right? They had futures contracts, and I'm trying to remember if it was a famous lawyer that ran for president. He ran for president and vice president, and he used a phrase, "I will not be nailed to a cross of gold with nails of silver." And he was trying to help the farmers of the Midwest who were fighting the big money people in Chicago. And so, you know, the Wizard of Oz is a parable about that, you know, about industry and farming and natural world versus the world of money. And I would have asked him.
I've never gotten that out of the Wizard of Oz.
So many people have said different things about it. Like, I've heard that it's about theosophy.
I've heard that it's about, precious metals, and that would tie into David. That's what the whole Yellow Brick Road is.
Yeah,
supposed to be made of gold.
And Emerald City.
Right.
And the Emerald City was the man behind the curtain, which was the fiat money system, that kind of thing.
And that's a big part of it. In the old world.
Yeah, and the Matrix is about being trans, right?
King. Sorry, go ahead, David.
In the old world, before we were as able to escape kings, we were forced to believe whatever the king's treasurer said. And if there was, I think I mentioned in another call that in the old days, they used to print 10 times more paper than they had gold. Mm-hmm. And so the money, the local economy was only worth as much as they had gold in the treasury. And Abraham Lincoln, and that was before 1776, Abraham Lincoln was able to add silver. And then, of course, they had jewels and precious, you know, diamonds and precious stones, whatnot. But the idea that the population of the world has gotten so big that the tonnage of gold can't even begin to keep up with the building of locks and dams on the Mississippi River. The amount of tonnage of gold can't deal with having all the airports running 24 hours a day.
What does that have to do with anything?
Because
there's no gold behind the currency these days. They got rid of that in 1971.
Well, right now, Kevin McCarthy and the GOP in Congress haven't signed a bill yet, a budget yet. They haven't done it. Their job, the legislature, the representatives, it's their job to put together a budget.
I thought what does this have to do with gold?
Yeah, I thought we were talking about money here. Now you're talking about Congress.
I'm talking about where does the country come up with the amount of money to be able to run airports and locks and dams and
just prints
you know, military. And
do you know how the fiat money system works?
I do. It's
then you shouldn't
education.
Be asking that
based
question.
Upon future.
It just prints
based
it.
Upon future.
No, it's based
they
upon
print
paper.
The money. Yeah, they print it, dude. They print it.
That's all there is to it. It's really simple.
They also increment numbers in computer systems as well. So
education is your collateral. Education is the collateral. And when you have a place like Florida where they want to rip apart the
education's collateral for what?
For your future.
But, okay.
You know,
what's that have to do with the money system?
Able to get out of
problems. Well, if my future was dependent on my high school education, I would be something I can't say on the radio. I would be messed up.
Well,
I would be.
An education will get you out of problems quicker than sitting on your thumb. And,
I was sitting on my thumb in high school, I can guarantee to you that. I took a retarded math people class, so that way I would not have to do more work.
David, what does any of this have to do with the currency?
Yeah.
Well, what I would have asked that previous caller was...
No, I'm asking you that.
In the old days, the Chicago Board of Trade did projections. The futures contracts were based upon, did they have a bunch of storms, hail storms in Kansas? Well, that would have ruined a bunch of crops. Would they have a sweet year so that everything blossomed and grew? Well, you'd have a whole bunch of food to sell, but you might have too much and it might rot in the fields. So futures contracts were based upon some degree of science and some degree of weather forecasting, but you could never have all of the information at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, we do have the internet, but we have notorious liars. And the idea that whole news networks would intentionally lie, global warming, is there going to be another drought in Kansas this year, or is it going to be a sweet year, or is it going to be massive hailstorms?
How the hell would anybody know? The people don't even know what the weather is going to be next week.
Yeah, it always changes.
Well, that's what climate change is all about.
No, it's not. It's always been that way. David, you're all over the map tonight. Thanks for the call tonight. He's just all over the place.
I mean, I feel like he's getting into a little something that Dingo has gotten into.
Drugs?
some drug that he has gotten into.
I don't know.
That's how Dingo is. He'll be talking about one thing in the middle of the sentence, talk about something else. I seriously didn't follow anything Dave was saying because I was just getting bored.
He was all over the place. So, yeah, it was difficult to follow.
Yeah, he didn't answer your question either.
He doesn't do that.
603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever you want to talk about, although we'd prefer to actually have a conversation with you. And maybe we'll have some of that coming up here in hour number three, which is on the way here on Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here. You can bring up anything you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. The all-on assault is continuing to get worse against cryptocurrency businesses here in the United States. And now, worldwide, the CFTC, the Commodity Futures Trading Committee. They are on the attack now. So it's not just the SEC, it's the CFTC going after, in this case, Binance, the world's largest Bitcoin cryptocurrency exchange. I've got their actual press release here, and then their, they always have to have the tough talk section of the press release wherever. If it's the Justice Department, it's like, we'll go after you wherever you are. It doesn't matter who you are, that kind of thing. In this case, they have similar tough talk here from the enforcement chairman or the CFTC chairman. Quote, today's enforcement action demonstrates that there is no location or claimed lack of location. I think that's an attack at Binance, who has claimed that they're not located anywhere in the past.
Which is fair. It's not a real entity.
That will prevent the CFTC from protecting American investors.
But it's not an American company. No location that's safe from the American government is what
that's
he's
what they're
saying.
Yeah.
I mean, he's almost literally saying exactly those words, and that's
it's
absolutely
shocking.
Horrifying. Yeah.
Anyone on the planet should be horrified by this idea.
Yeah.
That the American government is the ruling government of the entire world, and they believe they can reach into almost anywhere with the exception of maybe China and Russia and come after you. It says, I have been clear that the CFTC will continue to use all of its authority to find and stop misconduct in the volatile and risky digital asset market. For years, Binance
knew. But what did they do to actually put American customers at risk? Did they actually do anything?
They let them spend their money how they wanted to.
Yeah, that seems to be about it. It's not like the American investors lost money or anything.
Maybe somebody did.
Yeah, but not because of Binance.
Nope.
They definitely collect enough KYC.
So what exactly are you protecting American investors from?
Oh, see,
the
don't
freedom
you
of
understand?
Competition?
You should have learned this from the Crypto 6 case, Arya. When you register with the government, that immediately means everyone is safe. See,
and even
when
if they are, it just doesn't matter.
Well,
even
no,
if they
everyone's
aren't safe.
Always safe. That's what government does, is they make everything safe. So every bank out there is totally safe. You can put all your life savings
in
the
bank. Didn't a bank just collapse?
Shh, shh, shh. We don't talk about that.
Oh, okay.
Banks are totally...
Ian mansplaining to us.
Shh. Yeah. Banks are totally safe. You know it's safe because Joe Biden...
A second bank also went under, right?
And the yes, and the Treasury, just two, and the Treasury Secretary,
just the biggest one
don't
ever.
Don't worry, the taxpayers and the banks, they're going to bail them out, so it's okay. Okay, so Joe Biden said they're safe. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen,
crypto exchanges don't seem to need a bailout.
If banks have government paperwork, that means that when an old person who's being victimized by a scam artist on the internet walks into a bank and tells the bank teller, I want to send my life savings to this man in Africa who's my husband. Have you ever seen this man before? No, but he's my husband.
Well, they wouldn't ask that.
No, they probably wouldn't ask that. But even if they did ask it, it's okay for them to send that person's life savings away because they'll fill out a form afterwards and let the Treasury Department know that they did it. See, that's what separates the bankers from the rest of us.
Yeah, the rest of us.
Because they have forms.
Like Ian, you know, he would ask them a bunch of questions and refuse to do it if they were being too sketchy with him.
But
not like the banks. Yeah, that's bad. Because he kept a record and the FBI didn't even know about some of this stuff unless they would have looked on his computer.
Yep, that's true.
But sad because I am limited in my banking options for... Mostly as a result of the Crypto 6 thing. I can't just go out and create a new bank account or can't open a new bank account. So, and it's not worth it to me to bother it. So I use a prepaid debit card that I've had for a very long time. Yeah. And I have to periodically go and load money onto it. And it has only ever made me click a button saying, no, I am not
being scammed.
That's it.
That's it.
The cashier doesn't say, hey, read that message, make sure you're not being scammed or anything like that. They don't do any of that.
You don't even have to read it. You just have to click the button.
And you don't even have to present an ID most of the time. Yeah. It depends on the amount that you're saying. But yeah, it's just click yes or agree or whatever. Just what we always click to make the stupid box go away. And that's all it is.
It's fine for them to do that because they have the paperwork too. So they can sell thousands of dollars worth of these prepaid cards to people who might be sending them to scam artists
on the internet.
And not one of those people will ever be brought up on criminal charges for it because it's okay. They've got the government permission slip. And so the same thing's true here in the CFTC. If you got their permission slip, then you can sell futures, which as the caller who pointed out before, is basically gambling. You're gambling on the future of a particular crop or something like that, like oranges or whatever, and you think the weather's going to be good or bad, and so you bet on whichever way you think it's going to go, and maybe you'll win, and maybe you won't. Maybe you'll lose your entire life savings. You can buy stocks all day and all night long. And you can pour your entire life savings into that and they can go down the next day and you can lose it all. And you know what? That's totally fine as long as you've got the government permission slip because that's how you protect the consumers.
You can sort of buy stocks all day and all night long. But if you start actually making money, you're limited, first of all, in how you can actually acquire these. You can't just go to stock.com and buy some shares of Amazon or whatever. Mm. So you're probably going to need to use Robinhood or something like that, something that puts the power to buy stocks directly into your hands instead of going through one of the brokers, which is what you had to do. Scottrade came about
back
and that changed things, but it was a subscription fee and it wasn't that much better. Robinhood came out and it actually gave you the power to buy stocks directly, unless you actually start making money or unless you little plebs actually start influencing the market, at which point they freeze the stock.
Right.
And screw you, you're not getting your money.
And who's that protecting?
The bankers.
Not
the or
the
people. Corporations.
Not the little people.
It's protecting like the mutual funds and like these big guys. It's not protecting the little people, exactly. So this whole idea that the CFTC is out there protecting you by going after Binance is absolutely ridiculous. But that's what they want to promote. He says this should be a warning to anyone. This is the head of the CFTC, their chairman. This should be a warning to anyone in the digital asset world that the CFTC will not tolerate willful avoidance of U.S. law. I applaud the diligent and dedicated work of the CFTC's enforcement team in
bringing this
action.
But they're not subject to U.S. law.
They are now, girly.
Yeah. They're not supposed to be subject to U.S. They're not U.S. citizens. They're not a U.S. company.
Yep, and unfortunately the response by Binance has not been, go F yourselves. I got their response here in just a moment here. But he, and so then he goes on, pats his own guys on the back.
Well, it's like when people do stuff like that, it makes me wonder if they are complicit in this. It's like Alex Jones. He was just like, he wasn't like, this should never happen in free country. We have freedom of speech. This should, this ruling is bogus. Instead, he was like, yeah, I'm real sorry about what I said about those children that definitely died in Sandy Hook. And yeah, they definitely died. Please don't hurt me anymore. It's like, how much more can they hurt you? Just start preaching with your huge audience that this is a out of control legal system and this should never happen in a quote unquote free country. Okay,
that's what he would have said about anyone else's case. If he was talking about somebody else's case where he wasn't the one on the chopping block, then he would have said all those things. But when it's somebody who's got the power over you to destroy your entire life, you can't blame somebody for throwing themselves on the mercy of the, you know, the man with the axe.
How much more could his life be ruined? He doesn't have $400 billion or whatever.
What was it? I think it was a billion.
They can always find a way.
Just, it was just a billion. I don't know. It was a lot of money. It was like $900 million or $950 million. Let's go to the phones here. David's on the line in Georgia. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, David.
The answer to all this is clearly decentralization. Satoshi Nakamoto, who invented Bitcoin, and Nicholas von Sagerhagen clearly had the right idea when they remained anonymous and the developers of remained anonymous and did not centralize. SushiSwap just got taken down or just got a lawsuit filed because their chef or whatever was known and it was centralized. They had somebody to serve against. Clearly the answer is do not centralize.
You're referring to another big story last week. It kind of got overshadowed by the attack against Coinbase, but the SEC has also filed a lawsuit against, or maybe it was a Wells notice, but a suit's coming against SushiSwap, which is one of the world's top 20 decentralized so-called exchanges. What you're pointing out here, David, is that it wasn't truly decentralized because some of the players were known quantities. And so they're going after them as individuals sort of representing their decentralized autonomous organization.
Exactly. Clearly, what you need to do is take your fiat and get it, either do a peer-to-peer exchange with somebody or take your fiat, if there is no peer-to-peer way of doing it, take your fiat and go to Amazon and type in gaming PC and buy yourself a nice gaming PC with a really good CPU. And mine Monero. Take your dollars and pay for the electricity to mine crypto by yourself. That way they, you can get some and get out of this collapsing system before it all crumbles into a pile of ash like the Twin Towers.
Yeah, it does seem like they're getting more and more desperate as...
Another thing that the U.S. government was responsible for.
As the dollar continues to weaken... in fact, I've got a short video here from Peter St. Ange we can play on the question of what happens if the dollar, or perhaps when the dollar, loses its world reserve status. What exactly will the consequences be?
Hasn't it technically already lost that status?
Not yet. There's always a lot of talk.
I thought which will hit the fan.
Well, I mean, it's certainly not the reserve currency for Russia.
No, it's not, but I bet you Russia still has some dollars.
True.
David, anything else you want to share tonight?
No, just if you can't get crypto, you might be able to buy some gold or silver and then trade that for Monero or something. That's another possibility, too. Just get out of the dollar. That's the big thing.
Yeah, I mean, before it's too late. And when it's going to be too late, it's hard to predict. Thanks for the call tonight, man. I do appreciate hearing from you. The number here is 603-283-6160. Let me play this video here from Peter St. Ange. He's a professor, and he is with the Mises Institute. He's been keeping a close eye on this banking situation. He comes out with like a three-minute video every day, just kind of looking at some of the developments. And I played one this weekend, and I think it's pretty informative. So here's the one today about what happens if the dollar loses its reserve status.
Everybody had a great weekend and welcome back to the circus. With Saudi Arabia announcing it will price oil in Chinese yuan, there was a lot of worry over the weekend about reserve currency status.
Now, before we go on, I could not find this story. And I would hope that it would have been a bigger story. Like if Saudi Arabia actually announced that they were going to be pricing oil in the Chinese yuan.
I've always hoped that I would see that headline be really big and everybody be talking about it.
Well, obviously it wouldn't be a big headline, but there should be a headline somewhere, and I couldn't find it.
Why would that be obvious? It would seem to be like top news.
That's what I'm saying. Well, that's what I'm saying. It should be some kind of news. I wouldn't expect it would be the number one news story per se.
Is that because you'd think that the United States would want to keep it as quiet as possible so people didn't freak out?
Yeah, I would think so.
I guess that would be a good reason for them not to, but it should be news that everybody should be freaking out about. Well, not freaking out, just talking about.
Well, we know that Putin and the Chinese president, Xi Jinping, met last week, or maybe the week before. It was pretty recent. And it was like this big meeting. I guess it you know, doesn't happen often, and it was being reported as, you know, like, I think there was some sort of comment at the very end when they were both leaving about how that this is going to change the next 100 years or something like that.
They reaffirmed their friendship is what I took away from it.
And these are definitely two global superpowers who are ostensibly working closer together than ever before. And so there's been a lot of speculation about what that's going to mean for the dollar's status on the world stage. And now you've got St. Ange here saying that it was announced, and again, that's what I'm just trying to find. I just want to find something about. I'm not disbelieving him because he seems like a pretty legit guy. You know, maybe he's tapped into things we aren't because he's like a money guy or whatever. But I cannot find any story to back up the claim that Saudi Arabia has announced that they are going to start taking yuan for oil. If they do, then that is a huge, huge change. But anyway, let's go on here because he still gets to
Sorry, not yuan, but just yuan?
I think it's yuan. But maybe they pronounce it differently. I don't know. But he gets to an important point here about how reserve status works and what that means.
The fact that the U.S. dollar has been the dominant global currency for 70 years, but looks like it could now lose that status. Even CNN is worried in a rare display of situational awareness, and Fox fretted about Weimar, in other words, hyperinflation. So reserve currency status looks awesome. After all, you get to print stacks of green paper and foreigners give you cool stuff for them. Toasters, luxury cars, copper mines. The problem is, who does that profit go to? Who gets paid when foreigners crave the green paper? Unfortunately, it's not you. It's not dollar holders. It's whomever is printing the money. In practice, the Fed, which means the Treasury benefits, and you guessed it, Wall Street, commercial banks. To see why, imagine if foreigners didn't want dollars. The Fed and the banks could only print a little bit, since printing a lot would create inflation and voters would get really angry. But if foreigners do want crap loads of dollars, the Fed and the banks can print a matching crap load. It's like a river flowing into the money supply reservoir, matched up with a river flowing out to foreigners. The reservoir stays stable and voters don't riot. But notice where the profits went. That river to foreigners didn't go to we the dollar holders. We are the reservoir. We are unchanged. The profits went straight through us to the source of the river, the U.S. Treasury and Wall Street.
I assume there's some sort of graphic to go with this.
No, he's just talking. And I think it's a pretty easy to understand analogy here.
So, like pretty much everything in our crony financial system, it's a hustle. The American people think they're benefiting from reserve status, but the profits were sucked out and handed to the people who designed the institutional fleecing we call financial system. Now, here's the problem. Here's where Weimar comes in. What if foreigners suddenly don't want dollars? Maybe China's paying them to sell oil in yuan, or maybe the Fed lost the plot and creates too much inflation. That demand, that river flowing out to the foreigners, dries up. In fact, it reverses. The dollar starts to lose value. Foreigners worry their life savings and corporate treasuries are melting. They sell out of the dollar. Not only does the river reverse, it goes faster and faster back into the reservoir. The dollar collapses. 70 years of Fed and Wall Street money creation, 70 years of the river flowing into the reservoir. Now you've got all of that coming back in the reservoir. It is like a tsunami running up a canyon, and we, the dollar holders, get absolutely wrecked. We are, after all, the only ones in the world who are obligated to use the dollar.
Well, only in the payment of debts, as I understand it.
And we're not required to use the dollar.
Correct. Day to day, you don't have to charge dollars to people. for things.
I mean, there is a store here in New Hampshire that only accepts goldbacks, right?
I didn't know there is. I thought that you have to at least accept dollar if
someone misunderstanding.
Gives you one. Oh,
that's what I used to believe, and then the Derek and Steven proved that to be incorrect with their store that only accepted cryptocurrency. And further research revealed that when they say legal tender, it's a misconception that that means that you have to pay the dollar.
I didn't think you have to pay in it. I thought you had to accept it.
There are plenty of stores that will like refuse to take a $100 bill.
That's true.
Nothing but refusing to take the dollar.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a good point.
And, you know, there's some stores that only do electronic payments or whatever.
Yep. Right? Or only cash, yeah.
Yeah, right. And so if you look at the actual dollar itself, it says for all debts, public and private. So if you have a debt, if someone has a debt with you for something, even if it's eggs or, you know, gold or whatever the debt was originally denominated in, they can force you to take dollars for a debt. At least that's my understanding of how the legal tender laws work here. I'm not a lawyer. That's not legal advice. If you know better, feel free to give us a call. But that's how I've been explained too.
It's all very confusing. But the important takeaway is that you don't have to use the USD even as an American. And I would suggest it's a really good time to get into some gold, silver, or cryptocurrency. And you may be looking at Bitcoin. I don't know what it's at right now. Thinking, oh gosh, a tenth of a Bitcoin isn't really very much. Yeah, but people have done the math. And if you have 0.27 or more Bitcoin, then you're in the 1%.
Like the top 1%.
Yeah, of the people who will ever have. So if we ever end up in a Bitcoin-dominated society, you would be
the
top 1%. So it's not a bad idea to get into some of this stuff.
Just a couple more words here from Peter St. Ange here.
We're talking double-digit inflation over multiple years at an absolute minimum. Bottom line, if they screw this up, 70 years of reserve currency status could end up biting us. It could end up to have been a trap, an absolute catastrophe for the American people. All right, we'll be...
So there's... You know, as you suggested here, Arya, there's only one way out of this, if this is indeed coming. And a lot of people have been predicting this for a long time. So
it probably is coming.
You know, it may not be another debt. It may be maybe 10 more years before this thing starts to turn, or maybe 10 more weeks. Who knows?
It is inevitable, in my opinion, though.
You think so?
I think so. I don't know how it could be avoided. Eventually, people are going to figure out that, hey, we keep giving these guys fancy cars and technology and microchips and, like, they're literally just giving us sheets of paper. We're getting ripped off. Eventually, people are going to realize that. And as the U.S. dollar does all of these things that makes it look less and less desirable, I suspect they're going to realize that faster than they otherwise would.
Yeah, and I mean, even if Saudi Arabia says, all right, well, we'll take payments in the yuan for oil, that is a huge, it may be a watershed moment. I mean, it's a huge moment in history because forever, oil has been exclusively denominated in dollars. So that could be the beginning of the end. But at the same time, somebody's still going to look and say, yeah, but the yuan's also a central currency too, right? Like, yeah. I don't, one versus the other, why would I want one over the other? So I don't know if it's going to be a full-on rush to the yuan or if there's just going to be some countries that decide to make that flip. So will it all happen overnight? Probably not. But
do you think that the United States will go to war against Saudi Arabia if that happens?
That's a good question. They historically have gone to war over dollar-related rejections in, you know, the Middle East and such. It's possible.
I think Saudi Arabia knows that. Isn't Saudi Arabia a nuclear power as well?
They might be. I don't know about that. That's a good question. But certainly, if you mess with Saudi Arabia, you might be messing with China.
They have a crazy amount of money.
I suspect you would be messing with China.
Yeah. We got time for you if you want to join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever you want. But basically, if people lose confidence in the dollar, you've got central banks around the world that may sell off their dollar reserves and their treasuries, and they'll have to sell them cheaper than a dollar, basically. And then that's going to lower the value of the dollar in the world scene, for
sure.
It'll
make everyone else sell even faster.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to watch, especially if you're on the outside of it and you have alternatives like cryptocurrency and perhaps precious metals as well. We got more coming up. You can join the show. This is Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live, and you can join the show. We've got time for you if you want to join us. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian.
And it's Bonnie.
And Aria.
We've been talking about some money-related stuff here tonight. We've been covering that a lot recently, but of course the phones are open and you can always bring up anything that you want. But in my opinion, you know, beyond the potential for World War III, which is a pretty important international story, the potential failure of the dollar is also one, and it looks like the U.S. government is getting more and more desperate to stop the competition to the dollar in the marketplace, specifically cryptocurrency, and they've been desperately targeting as many different cryptocurrency companies as possible. We talked earlier in detail about what's happening with Binance. If you want to comment, you can join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. Let's talk to Nikki. She's listening on the radio there in near Chattanooga, Tennessee, to WGOW. Go ahead, Nikki.
Hey, I mean, y'all are talking about, like, they're talking in yuans or whatever. My question is how much longer is the American dollar going to have value if the lefties have their way and kill the oil value, because we're not producing that anymore because everything's electric? How is that going to affect the value of the American dollar?
Well, don't worry. Joe Biden has gone against his campaign promise to the lefties, which was that he was going to prohibit any further drilling in the United States, and he's opening up one of the drilling areas in, I think it was Alaska.
Yeah, it was Alaska,
if I recall correctly. So he's actually pissing off his base by doing that.
Because they haven't really been told to be pissed off yet, so I haven't seen anything about it.
Good point. Never underestimate, you know, the ability of a politician to completely ignore the campaign promises that they made during their campaign. The oil industry is well entrenched in Washington, D.C., and odds are it's not going to be going away anytime soon.
Yeah, I think he only took away drilling for a short time, short enough to give...
To get elected?
No, I think it was right after he got elected. Mm. So it gave Putin the ability... No, I think it gave Putin the ability to invade. I think that he... did it to make the power or the price of gas, foreign gas, go up. That gave Putin enough money to invade.
I don't know if Putin really cared about that.
Isn't he in bed with Russia anyway, or is that just his kid?
No, he's in bed with
Ukraine.
But they wanted this conflict because they obviously don't want it to end, because they're laundering money through it.
Makes sense. Thank you.
Nikki, thank you. The thing you might want to be more concerned about rather than the price of oil is whether that oil is going to be priced in dollars or something else. And that's the sort of the idea that's on the table here is that, and I did find something. Forbes has an article that came out today that talks about how Russia and China, in their trade between the two countries, Russia is an oil producer and it is selling oil to China now, supposedly for the Chinese yuan. So thank you, by the way, for the call tonight. Now, that doesn't mean Saudi Arabia has signed on board with that. And there's a lot of denial in the United States. If you look at U.S. media, especially conservative media, there's a lot of denial, like, no, the American dollar status shall not be questioned. The American petrodollar will never be displaced.
Well, yeah, the priests sort of have to say that in regard to their religious power.
Keep the believers believing, right? I wish I could read one of these headlines was really ridiculous. But there's another interesting point here from Forbes. They say that you've heard of BRICS before? Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa?
I only recently heard of it. It's just like a new coalition that they're starting so they can be more independent of the U.S. dollar / the United States.
Yeah, so it's these fairly influential other countries, right? These aren't the classic Western European nations.
But highly populated.
They're highly populated, and they're
got
on
a lot
the
of
upward,
resources.
Yeah, and they're on the upward swing economically in the world.
I think it's clear that the time of U.S. dominance over the globe has come to an end. And
they're going to fight to the bitter end.
The question is whether or not Americans are going to allow their government to get them killed fighting to the bitter end, or whether Americans can put aside their ego and adapt and see the rest of the world as equals instead of staring down at them from their high horses and arrogance.
It's a good question.
Someone in the chat says it's not old or new. I thought it was new.
Yeah, it's only new in that I've been hearing about it recently. I don't know how old
it is. Someone in the chat says BRICS is older than Bonnie.
Okay, wait, well, you're still pretty young, Bonnie, so I don't know. On the scale of nations, it's still probably pretty new. But these nations are either accepting the yuan already or strongly considering it. Russia, Iran, and Venezuela account for about 40% of the world's proven oil fields, and the three sell their oil in exchange for yuan. Turkey, Argentina, Indonesia, and heavyweight oil producer Saudi Arabia have all applied for admittance into BRICS, while Egypt became a new member this week. So you can extrapolate. I don't think it's a huge reach to suggest that if Saudi Arabia, which is the top supplier of oil for the world, I think so. If they are applying for membership in BRICS, it's not a huge jump to say that if they're granted membership, and why wouldn't they be? Why wouldn't you want Saudi Arabia in your, you know, from an international perspective, in your club?
I don't like rich people in my club.
Right. And, you know, and then why wouldn't Saudi Arabia just say, hey, look, we'll go ahead and take your yuan. We're members of the club here. As part of our membership agreement, we're willing to take the yuan for oil. I mean, so it hasn't been said just yet.
I mean, Americans should really be concerned. All of the kids that the United States has been bullying for the last several decades, all of those little snot-nosed little kids, they're all banding together here.
They're
forming a new little group, and they're
growing up. And they start working out.
And they're going to remember all of those years of screwing them over with the U.S. dollar. And they're not going to be happy about that. And Americans will find themselves cut out of this very system and starving to death with their government just printing more and more U.S. dollars and having no escape from it. This could go so very badly, so very quickly.
Yep. It's definitely worth keeping an eye on here. Let's go to the phones. We got Dave in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Dave.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Are you familiar with Mike Gill?
I don't know a lot about Mike Gill. I know that he is how to describe him. He's a character in New Hampshire who has made a name for himself at one time, like a decade ago. I think he bought a billboard in Manchester and was essentially calling a lot of the politicians criminals and crooks. They ended up prosecuting him for something. I don't know.
I've never heard of this guy.
How trumped up. He's just a New Hampshire guy. I don't know a whole lot about what he's up to these days. What about him?
Well, Mike Gill is a lot more than that. Mike Gill was the largest mortgage broker in the country for many decades. And he's gotten awards. He's squeaky clean. He's got these guys by the short hairs, the bankers, the money launderers, the drug traffickers, the human traffickers. And it's all based in New Hampshire, right under your guys' noses. You got to look up the video. Do you know who Brandon O'Connell is?
I don't know. Who's that?
Brandon O'Connell is an Australian, and he's like some kind of a journalist, investigative journalist.
Okay.
So he's got a story out there that really needs to be heard. And, you know, Mike Gill is a whistleblower. Okay?
What's the story? What's the big story?
The big story is he's exposing SVB Bank and tying it to Boston Bank and something in New Hampshire, some corporation there in New Hampshire. I can't remember the name of it, but there's a tiny little building that they're using as like a headquarters or an office space. There's no furniture in it. There's a tree that blocks the front door from the road. You just see the parking lot, and there's like a dry erase board for people. When they go there, they sign in, and then somebody knows they want to be gotten a hold of. And all the, you know, the drug cartels who are laundering all this money and human trafficking, Ghislaine Maxwell, right? She's got a house there. And she came to New Hampshire for prosecution. That's where she turned herself in. Watch this video, and I haven't been able to watch the whole thing. I'm legally blind, and I just got a flip phone. And every time I turn it on, you know, if somebody calls me, it shuts itself off, and I got to restart it all over again. So I get a lot of calls and a lot of texts and stuff like that. So I haven't been able to dig into it, but.
Well, I mean, it's not going to be a surprise to me to learn that, you know, bankers might be involved in helping drug cartels.
I'm pretty interested. I'm interested in this call because
I
like to know.
To be exposed. You guys need to be exposing this.
Well, it's been exposed before. I mean, you just exposed it right now. If you want to give the name of the video, go right ahead.
Yeah, well, I don't. If you just look up, it's on Rumble. Look up Brandon O'Connell interviews Mike Gill.
Mike Gill. Okay.
Yep.
All right. But yeah, I mean, it's not like it's news. I mean, bankers have been caught laundering money for drug cartels before, and all that ever happens is, of course, the government gives them a slap on the hand, and they, you know, hit them with a few million-dollar fine, which, of course,
yeah,
is like
the government's involved as well.
Of course, they are.
Yeah. That's why they give them a slap.
Who's your governor there, Sununu?
Yeah.
Well, he's not my governor. I don't need a governor.
He's the governor of New Hampshire, yeah. And he's on tape taking bribes from Mike Gill. Mike Gill videotapes everything he does. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what.
Mike Gill bribed Sununu?
Pardon me?
You said Mike Gill gave bribes to the governor?
He paid off the governor on video.
Wait, why would he videotape that?
It's on that interview.
I am really interested. I don't know. I think it's interesting to find out like what's going on. I just would have thought there'd be no way to look into it at all. But I'm really interested in what's going on, what kind of corruption's going on in New Hampshire, because you know that it's going on.
Of course it is.
But if it gets exposed at all, they flip it like crazy. Like when the gun stock stuff was going on, what happened was Mike Sylvia said that he noticed money didn't make sense, and he found like money laundering from Sununu's campaign. Yeah. And then the news media was just going like, The Free Staters want to take down, they want to take gun stock from us. And nothing like that was happening. They were just trying to have an audit on what was going on. Sorry, gun stock, for the listeners who don't know what I'm talking about, is a state-run ski resort. Why does the state run a ski resort? Well, apparently to launder money. And if you as a state representative say, we need to have an audit of this.
We need some accountability.
We need some accountability. Yeah. The whole board,
the entire apparatus of
quits.
The media and everything turned against them.
Yeah, but the board of whatever it was of Gunstock was like, I'm not putting up with this. I quit.
There was a quote unquote grassroots hate campaign that sprung up in the area of this Gunstock, and they had like a ton. And by the way, Dave, thanks for the call.
Obfuscation campaign, because no one knew what was going on, and they were just going to people's doors telling them, like, did you know that the Free Staters are trying to hate Gunstock, and they want to take the mountain away from all of us? Don't you love Gunstock? Do you have any good memories there? Oh, you had that was where your high school graduation party was? They want to take that from your children.
And then Mike Sylvia lost re-election as a result of that.
Politics is dirty.
Yep, it sure is. And you're absolutely right, Bonnie, to that caller. Certainly there's corruption at all levels. I mean, whether it's your local good old boy network in the town or city in which you live, there's corruption at that level, state level, federal level. I mean, it's ugly, and if you cross the wrong people...
A lot of people don't even know just like the simple fact that you don't have a fair trial because the judge works for the same people that the cops work for, who work for the same people that the meter maids work for. And they're all supposedly putting on a trial for you that's supposed to be a fair trial.
Are they all on the same team?
Let's continue. Sarah's on the line in New Mexico. Go ahead, Sarah.
Did you see that Calvary Chapel movie review, the movie
Who?
That got put out? Chuck Smith and Calvary Chapel.
Cowboy Chapel?
Calvary Chapel of California.
Calvary Chapel.
Is that the
sounds
name
like
of the
a
movie?
It sounds like a church. Is that what it is, Sarah?
Well, it was a movie about he was a pastor of a very small church, and he was gonna quit, and then he met up with a pastor that got all of the hippies. So that he invited all the hippies that were Christian into the church, and they became a really mega church.
You're saying there's
and
a
the
movie
that,
about this chapel?
Yeah, there was a movie that was came out.
And what's it called?
And then it was, I don't know what it's called, but I recognize it's got the upside down dove symbol. That's the symbol of the church.
Weird.
But the thing is that I used to go to that church in Costa Mesa. I went there many times. And
there's
I heard
a movie that came out apparently this year called Jesus Revolution. It's
right,
the true
right?
story
that's
of
it?
A.
Yeah.
Sarah,
that's
do
it?
You?
No, I'm asking her.
Oh.
Do you think we care what church you used to go to? Do you think anyone cares what church you used to go to?
Yeah, but no, she used to go to a church that they made a movie about, and that's like being a Hollywood star.
Well, I mean, it's a big deal because I don't know why it was a big deal enough. People made a movie about it.
Well, did you watch it?
Well, the thing is that I never watched it, but he did mention that we.
Why are you calling to tell us about a movie that you don't even know if it's any good and you don't even know the name of it?
Well, all I know is that the church was very spirit-filled.
Are we supposed to congratulate you?
What is the name of this church?
She said the Calvary Chapel.
She didn't know the name of the church. Okay.
That's the one thing that she knows.
Passed on. And then, to his tribute, they made this movie. But, you know, he touched a lot of people's lives, and it's a very anointed, very spirit-filled church. I mean, it's very charismatic, and a lot of people got their life turned around, and I'm just fascinated that there's a church I used to go all the time, and I used to see Chuck Smith preaching.
There you go.
Charles Manson also touched a lot of people's lives.
Thank you for
the call. That's a demonstrably true statement.
Touch is an interesting word for that.
Well, he changed their lives forever.
This is probably the movie she's talking about. It is relatively new, it appears. 2023, PG-13, Jesus Revolution, the true story of a national spiritual awakening in the early 1970s and its origins within a community of teenage hippies in Southern California, starring Kelsey Grammer. That's the name I recognize here, and a lot of people.
I don't even recognize that. At the grocery store, since Sarah wants to call about something completely pointless, I have a completely pointless story that's funny.
Okay.
Today at the grocery store with my dad, I was bagging because the bagger walked away, and the girl who was checking us out was just really slow and kind of mentally slow too, in a way, not like really bad, but just like it was making her be slow because she just kept talking and would stop beeping things, and then we were in a rush. But anyways,
was she talking to the customers or
talking
her
to
baggers?
My dad, talking to me, talking to anyone around her, and not paying attention to the fact she wasn't beeping things anymore. But anyways, I was just kind of making conversation. I was like, I hate the music they play here. It was just some 80s song. Mm-hmm. And she just went, yeah, they play this one song all the time in here that says something like, I want to touch you the way you want to touch me. And it's just inappropriate for a grocery store. And I was like, yeah, it's a little more inappropriate when you're saying it.
Do you know what song that is?
No, do you?
Okay. Oh, no, I
don't know. It's probably an 80s song. Hmm. I don't know. It's just so weird that she'd say that to me. Me and my dad were just like, yeah, that's weird.
Awkward.
All right, good story. You want to talk about killing people in Japan, Bonnie? You had a story tonight that you've been wanting to get to for some time. As you may know, Japan has a population crisis.
Do they?
Yes.
I believe it. I mean, it's not a huge island, and they have a lot of people there.
That's not the problem. The problem is they're not reproducing. So the number of people is going to be, if it's not already, it's going to be going down. And that's a problem because, well, it means there's a lot of old people and not a lot of young people because they're not reproducing. Right. So, like, you know, these old people are retired.
So there's a parasite class that is subsisting off the work of the younger generation?
Well, I mean, I don't know whether
they're
subsisting.
I bet it is with the way they have set up society.
Yeah, maybe welfare is doing that to people, but I don't know if that. I'm not going to blame the elderly for that, right? Like, they worked their lives, they had their kids, they did their thing. The thing is, their kids aren't having kids. They're not even dating in many cases. They're not interested in relationships.
They have waifus or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Something like that.
Ian always thinks that's way more widespread than it is. I don't know if that's what it is.
Well, I don't know if they're just alone without a pillow or whatever, but some of these guys have those waifu pillows, I'm sure.
It's probably pretty common.
There's a reason that that product exists.
I think it's mostly the American people.
It could be.
Well, I don't know. You don't live there, so if you live in Japan and you can enlighten us here. But anyway, tell us the story.
So this is from firstpost.com. Yale professor tells Japanese senior citizens to kill themselves, but why? Yasuki Narita, an assistant professor of economics at Yale, was referring to the growing population of the elderly in the country. He also said that euthanasia must be made compulsory in Japan.
Good lord.
Oh my.
Wow.
It would be like one thing. It would be pretty gross to me if he was just saying, you know what, it would be a good thing for you to do for your country if you killed yourself. That'd be one thing. But him saying it should be made compulsory is just crazy.
That's just state-sanctioned murder.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. It says,
but it's okay because it's for the good of the state.
That's what they always say.
Speaking to the New York Times, he said, I feel like the only solution is pretty clear, which sounds pretty freaking Nazi to me.
It sounds pretty. You shouldn't say such a thing to the New York Times and expect to have your reputation remain intact.
The New York Times might actually agree with it.
Yeah, they might.
These days.
Equating mass suicide with seppuku, a ritual disembowelment that was forced upon samurai that had dishonored the country during the 19th century, Professor Narita said, in the end, isn't it mass suicide and mass seppuku of the elderly? Question mark. Japan's population has...
And wasn't that really not actually that uncommon? I mean, is that common, seppuku?
They kind of get into it more because I hadn't heard anything about it till I read this article. For one thing, it already went into the fact that it was for a samurai that had dishonored the country. You don't just kill people. I mean, it'd be one thing. I think it's probably wrong to kill soldiers who dishonor the country, but...
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it would be pretty rare.
But this is killing people, old people, just because, well, you're too old and we can't take care of you now. That's not dishonoring anyone. It says Japan's population has, for the first time, recorded an increase in the elderly population.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people get older and they don't die occasionally. I mean, when your medicine gets better, that tends to happen
Keep
as well.
Them around longer, yep.
Narita's comments have invited a lot of criticism from people. Defending his remarks about mass suicide as a metaphor, quote-unquote, the 37-year-old professor said, I should have been more careful about their potential negative connotations. He added, after some self-reflection, I stopped using the words.
Oh, so he's changing his message now to be a little more soft, but he still wants to kill elderly people? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yasuki Narita explained his logic behind his remarks to the New York Times. He claims that measures like euthanasia would make way for younger people in business, politics, and other aspects of society that older people refuse to leave.
What a horrifying thing to say. What a monster this guy is. Okay, you worked your entire life. You retired. You want to live out the rest of your days. Too bad, kill yourself.
Too bad, kill yourself.
Right, and I'm sure they want to take all their wealth, too, when they killed themselves, right?
I'm sure.
Like, just hand that over to the state.
When asked to defend his views, Narita showed a clip from the 2019 movie called Midsommar.
Oh, God.
Remember we watched
dear
that, Ian?
Lord.
Yeah, I remember.
He's pointing to a literal horror movie.
Yeah.
As an example of what society should do.
Because they kill their old people in that movie. That's right.
In that movie, the old people purposely walk off a cliff once they hit 70 because that way they are not a burden on the society. And they've celebrated as a good thing. But then the cult starts doing weirder and weirder things while the visitors are there. And
And it's all absolutely gruesome.
Yeah, it's really terrifying.
But it's a creepy movie.
It's a horror movie. And this
it's not
guy's,
really that horrible.
No, but the genre
I think it's
is
really
horror.
That horrible.
And this guy is pointing to it as an example, this horror movie.
Yeah.
That's what we should be doing.
Yeah, but, let's take cues from Saw as well. Let's weed out the dumb ones, right?
He says, whether that's a good thing or not, that's a more difficult question to answer. So if you think that's good, then maybe you can work hard toward creating a society like that.
Hmm. So he
what
wants
a lunatic.
So he's saying he wants to persuade people to do this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is him being apologetic about what he said to begin with or whatever.
So he was too harsh the first time he said it. So he's trying to water it down.
I shouldn't have used the word suicide and murder. I should have used the word euthanasia.
Yeah. Kill yourself.
Going unalive.
It says, talking to the Times, he said, I was primarily concerned with the phenomenon in Japan where the same tycoons continue to dominate the world of politics, traditional industries, and media or entertainment or journalism for many years, which also happens in America, like our president. Our president, quote-unquote, is 80-something?
Yep.
Yeah, let nature take its course. I mean, he'll die eventually of natural causes.
Well, I'm not saying we should kill the president.
Right.
Does the story get into why the population is shifting in Japan and how it is that these young people aren't having babies?
It's just going into Japan's aging population next.
Yeah, all right. Out of time for tonight, though. Let's get that posted on our social media. If you send me the link, I'll drop it over at social.freetalklive.com. For those that want to dig deeper, follow the @FTL account there, and we'll see you tomorrow night. On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project, and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of Liberty.
You can help more people hear the message of Liberty by joining Free Talk Live's AMPS program on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. And you'll get access to special perks. Visit amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com.